You know how Lightning always comes in Fridays at 10 and gives his little plugs about his gigs? Oh, by the way, I'm going to be so-and-so
this Friday. I'll be at Krager Auto Parts, and I've got free oil pans for everyone who comes down. Get a balloon and a sticker.
Come down and join us. Well, he had one of those gigs, and sometimes those gigs aren't wildly successful. Sometimes only a small group of people show up. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, maybe only two people show up. Can you imagine doing a gig, going out to someplace as Lightning from K-Rock, and you did the radio commercials and everything, and two people show up? That's funny enough.
That would be a story in itself.
He should have sit down with them.
He should have come back and said, "Hey guys, I did a gig. There were only two people there. We could have so much fun with that."
Right? Yeah. Oftentimes they, they want us out on their slowest night, which even I can't help.
Right?
Yeah.
Even sure. I. The great Lightning.
So,
so 2 months ago, he does a gig and there's only two people there. And did he tell us that?
No.
Did he mention it to any one of us that we might be able to bring up on the air and have some fun?
You know what? I went back.
Let me finish. You be quiet. Not only were there two people there, the two people that were there.
Siegfried and Roy?
Were Tom Likas and his girlfriend.
That was my audience.
So now Lightning is doing a gig and he's got to entertain only Tom Likas and his girlfriend. Now, we have a Tom Likas on this program all the time.
No, I don't get the tie-in.
He
I don't
never thought to tell
no,
us this.
I don't see how it. I don't see how we can make a break out
how
of it.
How could
Kevin?
You not tell one
you
of us?
You know,
that?
I came back the next day and I told some people here who I don't know, but it was some people because you guys were on vacation. I figured it out. You guys were on vacation,
week,
and I didn't save it over till when you got back. Because
do you not send out an email saying, "Guys, remind me to tell you, I had a gig. I had only two people at my gig, and it was Tom Likas and his girlfriend."
And by the way, this past vacation they took separately, so there
that's
was
right.
somebody
one of us
here
would have been
in
here.
The house.
Good point. There was no way we were all gone.
That's
good
right,
point.
Right.
And by the way, when you showed up,
guests for.
We want to make sure run all those guests off of my week. Yeah. When you showed up at that gig and saw that it was only Tom Likas and his latest hoe, I don't know how you weren't on your cell phone calling us at home saying, "You guys aren't going to believe this. This is the most unbelievable thing that's ever happened to me. You can't believe who's in front of me."
I swear to God, I cannot believe you didn't tell us. That is unbelievable to me.
I told some people.
I was pretty sure I told you. What are you, some people? There's Ralph.
No.
There's Bean. There's
I
me.
Is there a guy named Johnny B that works on this show?
I remember coming in the next day telling some people about it.
Fine,
so,
but you didn't tell us.
Hey, Lightning, how'd you entertain Tom and the missus?
I didn't. That's the whole thing.
What
is
was
that
the gig, first of all? Start from the beginning. Okay. What was the event? Day. Where were you? Why?
Cuervo hires me to go out to one of their bars that is a real Cuervo, deep Cuervo server. It was Gotham on 3rd Street Promenade.
Okay. Santa Monica.
In Santa Monica, exactly. Well. Great place. Okay. And I got there, and there was a huge event going on next door, and so a lot of people were there and didn't really, I don't know if they thought it was open or not, but somehow I walked in, and there weren't very many people there, and then they started to trickle out. Finally, time comes around, I'm supposed to get on the mic, and I realized, okay, there was no like big K-Rock setup or anything.
There's
it was just
only
me,
two people there.
A couple turntables and a mic.
There's
on
two
a
turntables
stage.
And a microphone?
Yeah, that's right, ones and twos. And I look at him like, oh, there's only two people sitting here. And I look closer, and you do that refocus where you and I focus
how
right in on.
How close do you have to look if it's Likas?
No kidding.
You
can
spot him from the Hubble telescope.
That's why no one else could get in the bar.
A giant dude with sunglasses on?
His back's to me. I could see the woman. I'm like, okay, there's only two people. This is a little awkward because then I look like a fool.
A little awkward?
Yeah,
what are you
going to
do? Get on the mic and go, hey, how many people are from out of town?
Exactly.
Anybody celebrating an anniversary?
I can't do any contests. Can't do anything.
You couldn't eat your dog food for a t-shirt contest?
No. Can't eat dog food for a t-shirt. They just look at him like, what? There's only two of us.
I figure I'm going to get a beer and I walk around to the bar, and at that point I realized there's only one guy that I know of that wears all black and sunglasses indoors.
And that's when you got on your cell phone and called Bean and Ralph and myself and said, "You guys will not believe this in a million years."
Well,
this is great.
I talked to the manager and I go, "I can't do a gig for two people, especially if one's Likas."
Of course you can.
No,
what's wrong
to
with
do?
You? Got some concert tickets? Who's got the
pump up the jam?
106 and 7 on a dollar bill. Come on. Come on up front.
Like, did you at least have the what you have that works for every audience, which is everybody say hey, everybody say ho. You at least had that in your back pocket.
That.
You could always use that.
Dude, I froze up.
So you told the manager you weren't going to do it and you left?
No, I didn't leave. I stayed there and some more people.
And got paid for not doing anything?
I do what I call my custom service, which is I go to table to table and I just spend a little time with each person.
You just sit
service.
Tell us about your custom service with Tom Likas sitting at his table.
I went and I said hello, and he still had no idea. I was with Ralph one time.
Right.
And we went up like, hey, this is Ralph. He does you sometimes. And I introduced myself. And he goes, oh, you know what? I haven't heard you guys. And it was the same thing this time, where he's like, he had never heard
of us. He's full of crap, by the way. He mentions on the air that he hears
and
him.
And
I met the guy four times. Yeah, he keeps saying, oh, I don't know who you are. I don't get up that early. I have no idea what you guys do in the morning.
So you're sitting there. He's at the table. He says he has no idea who you are. Then you say, everybody say hey. Everybody say ho.
I couldn't do it, dude.
Anybody got a condom in their wallet? Come on up. I'll give you some tickets. They just look at him.
I wasn't liquored up. Maybe things would have been different. But
we were talking about him. Here we go.
Here he comes.
Tom.
Could have done this 2 months ago.
DJ Tweeter.
There you go. How you doing, Tom? Good morning.
Tom?
Really?
Yes. This is
unbelievable.
This is Lightning. Do you recognize him from the gig in Santa Monica that we were talking about here on the air?
Come on, for God's sakes.
He was at Gotham. You and your girlfriend were there, and he was entertaining you?
Really?
You remember that?
Yeah.
You were there. I was there.
Unbelievable.
Can you believe he didn't tell us?
Unbelievable.
What I can't believe you didn't call us and tell us.
Unbelievable.
Tom, what kind of stuff? Is Lightning telling us the truth? What kind of stuff did he do on the mic that night?
He did Flash Friday.
Flash Friday.
No, that was you. That's your deal. Show your rack, everybody.
That's your deal.
Driving down the 5 freeway, put the lights on. Show your rack.
That's your deal. That's not his.
How was I going to do a gig with him sitting there with that persona?
Cracking the ass. Yeah, leave my head print on your ass. Attention all.
He'll ask for tattoos or something like that, pink underwear. Who knows what he asked for? And then you got to come up front. Did he do any of that stuff?
Really?
Who's the attention whore, Tom? I'm sorry, I didn't follow that.
Come on, for God's sakes! Attention whores! Fred Friday! Crack of the ass!
What is wrong with you, Tom?
Here's the 800 number you're going to need. 1-800-500-TOM is the number.
Light, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Is this what the conversation was like with him at the table?
A little bit, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Really?
It's weird.
Really? Really?
Yeah, Tom, we just want to know. We just want to know about the gig where Lightning had. To...
Tom, what's wrong?
Were you there, Lightning?
I was there. I was there, and you were drinking.
Yes.
Oh, God.
That's okay.
You were drinking it. Oh, man. Did I entertain you?
Unbelievable.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock. It's Wednesday morning. We got this email earlier today. I think it bears repeating. Dear Kevin and Bean, on behalf of Donald J. Trump, NBC, and the Miss USA organization, I would like to ask if Kevin Ryder would be interested and available to be our show's announcer for the 2007 Miss USA pageant. The pageant will be broadcast live on NBC from 9 till 11 from the Kodak Theater in Los Angeles on March the 23rd. Kevin would announce our opening titles and all of our bumpers throughout the two-hour telecast. So the date is quickly approaching. I would love to hear your thoughts sooner rather than later. Kevin, you got this email in your box yesterday and said what?
Well, I deleted it because I thought it was a joke.
You figured it was Jimmy Kimmel or somebody playing a prank on you?
Yeah, I just thought somebody was making fun of me because of the Grammy thing.
You're not suggesting it's not a joke, are you? I'm sure it's a joke.
Well, we thought we got to find out who on earth would be trying to get Kevin on the Miss USA pageant. I mean, not that it's not a tremendous honor, but clearly he's unqualified to speak for professionally, right?
Right.
So we asked Lightning to line us up somebody, and we have Phil Gurin on the line. He's the executive producer of the Miss USA pageant, which again airs Friday, March 23rd at 9 on NBC. Phil, thanks for joining us. I know you're very busy this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. Good morning.
So, 56th annual Miss USA pageant is happening a week from Friday, and you're saying goodbye to the party girl. Tara Conner's gone, right?
Tara's, you know, she's come through a lot this past year, but we are going to definitely say goodbye, thank her for all the good things she did, and, you know, wish her well.
Okay. Yeah, well, she has done more for Miss USA than any Miss USA contestant I can think of in a long time, my friend. She was a gem. So, right now, you do not have an announcer for the show for that Friday night?
No, we do not, and we're really excited here.
Based on...
Phil, have you personally heard any of my announcing?
Personally? Well, I listen to you on the radio.
Yeah.
Really? That didn't dissuade you?
Because that would have dissuaded me. That's almost dissuaded us from having him on the radio show, much less anything else. Phil, I mean, don't you want somebody who's dynamic and exciting and can translate the energy of your pageant to the home viewer?
Well, yeah, and that's why we want Kevin.
And don't you want someone whose voice cuts through? That would be helpful, right?
Look, I hate me more than these guys do. So I thought it was a joke because of we've played very publicly a lot of screw-ups that I've had working on the Grammys. And there's no possible way anybody else could actually want that type of announcing.
I disagree completely. We love the quality of your voice. We love who you are, at least what we publicly know of you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Listen to Phil. This is crazy. Hey, Psycho Mike, do you have any of the tape available? If we have time, let's just play just a minute or so of what you've got from when Kevin was in the booth for the Grammys.
Shit. Coming up, Shakira and Wycliffe Jean. Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance. To vote for Africa Miranda, send the number 1. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number 1. Send the number 2. Coming up, Shakira and Wycliffe Jean. Mary J. Blige in a once... God damn it. Mary J. Blige in a once-in-a-lifetime performance.
Sorry, people.
I think it's... Yeah, I also think I screwed up the word one.
Phil, I think what we're saying is you don't know what you're doing, and we have to have... As a friend, we need to come to you in an intervention capacity. We need to say, we're not going to allow you to eat that last piece of chocolate cake. You need to push away from the table. You need to... seriously, you need help, and we need to say no on Kevin.
Well, I certainly agree I may need help.
Yeah.
But this is an official offer, and we think Kevin would be great for it.
Are you just looking for laughs? Is that it? People are a little depressed. You want to give him something to laugh
at? You know, if you're the help me out here, Phil. Phil is the executive producer of the Miss USA pageant on the line talking about next Friday's pageant. If you're the guy who's doing the announcing, don't you have to be able to pronounce all of the states plus the District of Columbia?
No, actually not. We have our... The folks are going to be on camera. We're going to do that. Kevin's going to... We're going to protect ourselves. We're going to have Kevin pre-record all his announcements.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the only
smart.
Way to go. Yeah.
Time-consuming, but smart.
We don't have to worry about him saying, it's Miss Ohio or anything like that, right? He'd be fine.
Not at all.
Pre-record.
Well, the problem is it's only 9 days till your show. There's no way you can lay it all down and edit it in time for the telecast.
I do require a full month of pre-record time. Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. Wow. An unforgettable performance by Corinne Bailey. Boy, I sure can't say her name. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey.
Kevin, Phil says it's a serious offer. He's on the line. He's got to go. What do you say for the Miss USA pageant next Friday night?
Oh, wow. Phil, I'm going to have to talk to you later because I have big reservations about this. So
can you say, live from the Kodak Theater, it's the Miss USA 2007 pageant?
Questionable. It's questionable at best. I'll take your number and I'll call you, Phil.
All right, well,
I'll call you today.
It's a serious offer. We'd love to have you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you're very kind, Phil. I think you're in a little way making fun of retarded kids when you're doing this somehow. But we appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show with us.
Hey, guys, thanks for your time.
See, nice guy. He's doing a real job. He just doesn't know he's in dangerous territory.
Yeah, he does need an intervention. That's
he's
all
heading for an ass whooping, and he doesn't have any idea who's going to give it.
Why is the Food Network the hottest channel in America all of a sudden? What the hell's going on?
Well, they're bad on a lot of levels.
Or could.
Last hour we were talking about this this Rachel Ray, who I know nothing about.
Yeah.
But Omar hates so much he cut her picture out of a box of Wheat Thins. Now we're going to talk about, we played a commercial the last couple of days, and it's really, really difficult to ignore it when we play commercials like this. I mean, we listen to it and we say, no.
This can't be true.
No possible way. There is.
Oh, Ace of Base, right? We're talking about Ace of Base?
The Ace of Cakes, Bean. It's the Ace of Cakes.
Yeah, not the same thing.
Oh, I misunderstood. This is the guy who calls himself the Ace of Cakes we're talking about.
Yes, yeah. He's the bad boy of baking.
Ooh.
All right, well, let's hear his commercial. What's
listen
he all about?
To this.
What do you get when you mix one part rocker with one part welder? And oh yeah, throw in a pastry bag. Meet Doug. There's no cake he can't make. Follow the life of Food Network's bad boy baker in an original series that takes the cake and blows it up.
Okay.
Duff.
So,
really?
Duff is the bad boy of baking.
I didn't know such a thing existed.
There's no cake he can't make. Let's say good morning to Duff Goldman. Good morning, Duff.
Woo! Yeah! Okay, all right. Oh, listen, Duff, doing a radio show, you're going to have to watch your language, but we do have it right.
Hey, you are, man. I'm the bad boy cakes, man. I'm the ace of cakes.
Okay, but aren't you just making cakes? I mean, you can be as bad a boy as you want, but at the end of the day, it's really just a piece of cake, right?
Oh, man, I play by my own rules.
But
I'm not the normal baker. I'm the bad boy of bakers, man.
What makes you the bad boy of baking?
Man, I don't play by your rules.
What? I don't have any rules for baking.
I make my cakes my way.
Right.
Sometimes I make a cake and it needs flour.
Yeah.
I use unsifted flour, man.
Oh, my God. Now I see where
crazy.
You're coming from.
I'm an outlaw.
But isn't, Duff, isn't the point of these shows, these cooking shows, and the point of just making a cake, isn't it just to make a cake that sounds, that smells good, tastes good, looks good?
That's it. Oh, you don't get it. I'm expressing myself through my cakes.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you need drills and chainsaws to make a cake. Just get yourself a cake pan and a spatula and a measuring cup.
Because I'm insane, man. I'm the ace of cakes. I'm but, the bad boy of baking.
But, Duff.
Sometimes I'll preheat an oven. Supposed to be 350. I'll go to 355, 400. I don't care, man.
Wow.
But then, I'm crazy.
Don't you burn the cake?
Shut up, bitch! I can do what I want. I'm the ace of cake.
All right, listen.
I'm a tyrant. It must be dealt with.
Listen, Duff. Here's the thing. Cake, it seems like baking to me falls in the same category of, I don't know, sleeping or meditation or having afternoon tea. There's no bad boy of any of that stuff.
Oh, you don't know shit, man. I make the out of these cakes.
How do you do that?
Oh, man, I don't care, man, because I'm crazy. I play by my own rules. Hey, right now, I've got a souffle in the oven.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't care about the noise, man. Let it fall.
If I were to have a blind taste test between a cake that you make and a cake that, say, Rachel Ray, who's also got a show on your network.
Rachel Ray?
Listen.
Oh, geez.
Listen,
that's not what we're talking about at all.
Jeff, we have to watch our language. We're on the radio.
I put my chocolate log right in her oven, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Duff. Who's a better cook, though? Whose cake would taste better is my question to you.
Mine, man, because mine's built with insanity. I'm the extra ingredient, man. Craziness.
All right, well, it sounds...
I make a bundt cake?
Yeah.
I don't even put nonstick spray in the pan.
Are you kidding me?
Stick. I don't care, man. I'm the ace of cakes. I'm a card that must be dealt with.
I love that tape. If you have it handy, Kevin, I'd like to request again Kevin Federline at the nightclub in Chicago because, you know, his world has just collapsed. If you'd have talked to him 2 weeks ago, he would say it couldn't be going any better.
Right?
He's on top of the world. He figured, you know, this was before he knew how badly his album was going to sell. This is when he thought he still was going to have a tour that was going to work out.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. He thought maybe he was married to an ATM. Here's what Kevin Federline's life is like now.
Afterwards, Federline showed up for an after-hours party at Cabaret in Chicago.
Oh my god,
awesome. I love it. Hey, Fed, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's up, everybody? How you doing? Boom, ping, ping. Listen to what I bring. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Hey, Fed,
yeah.
Those people were clearly mocking you going into the nightclub.
You're haters. You know what I'm saying?
And you also had to give away tickets to that show for free.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like... I guess I overestimated how my first album would do. You know what I'm
right.
saying? But
mm-hmm.
as I look at it, many artists, you know, their first work, their early work, a little too avant-garde for the general public's palate.
You know
what I'm saying? So now I know that. I'm going to restrain myself in my later work and make it a little more commercially viable. You'll see.
Here's another clip from that show in Chicago.
She really loves what I'm doing right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is K-Fed talking about Britney.
And she's probably my number one fan. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, together we take over the world.
Yeah. How does that feel right now?
Well, not too good. You know what I'm saying? Now I can express how I really feel.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait, you weren't expressing how you really felt before?
Nah, man. You know, I'm trying to take care of her feelings.
At first, I
thought things, you know, I'm beefing with my wife. I keep that at home. I'm trying to protect her image.
Oh, but you're trying to protect
now
her.
Now that I've jettisoned that fat pig and I've gotten rid of that disgusting slob, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That deep-fried Louisiana bitch, I'm ready to go make mine. You know what I'm saying?
How can you ignore the fact that the places are not selling out, that they have to give away tickets for free, and that this was the concert review in Chicago?
It is the worst show we've ever seen, literally.
It was
was awful. It was the worst show I've ever seen.
How come?
Because he's terrible.
Now that's gotta
listen.
That's gotta hurt your feelings
those,
a little.
Those square ass Wonder Bread white bitches don't know. Okay, you know what I'm saying? It's like the early days of NWA and Two Live Crew. The shows got so dangerous.
No.
They were so thuggish.
No.
They were so gangster that people were afraid to show up. And I feel like, you know, that's what's going on with me. People are scared that maybe some violence is going to pop off any second, you know? Because that's the type of crowd that I draw. Gangsters, G's, thugs.
So you're saying that the shows that were canceled due to lack of interest,
yeah,
people were just afraid of.
Yeah, it's like Elvis, you know what I'm saying, back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Too intense.
Some of the Christian towns and everything they had, like, they didn't want that. It was scary. It was intimidating to them. You know what I'm saying? Because he was thinking outside the box. He was a thug. I'm a thug. That's how it goes, dog.
But all we're saying is you predicted 500,000 copies of your album in the first week. You sold just over 6,000.
But I'm like Borat, dog. I'm going to get better with the second weeks to come. You know what I'm saying?
I see. Is that right?
I'm like a snowball. You know what I'm saying? K-Fed, building up momentum as it goes.
K-Fed, I've never heard of a CD only selling 6,000 nationwide after all the press you did.
It's not good.
That's a slap in the face is what it is.
You know, in the music industry, it's not what they call good.
Right. No,
like
no
said,
it's not.
I'll rework it. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I'll try to make things a little less artistic. I understand I might have gone a little overboard with the creativity on this one.
You were over people's heads.
Yeah, exactly.
You're too good. Like, that's the problem.
A little avant-garde.
I see. Okay. All right. Listen, K-Fed, we want to change our focus for a moment here to something else that you said you had in the works. And I don't know if it's true or not, but one of the stories that we heard was that you were going to write an autobiography to show people your roots, where you came from, growing up in Fresno. How did K-Fed get to be K-Fed? Any truth to the rumor you're writing a book?
Right. No, I've already written it. You know what I'm saying? It's in the can. And, you know, it's very confessional. You know, it's introspective.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think people are interested in how a king builds his empire. You know what I'm saying? The beginnings. You know what I'm saying? It's an introspective look on what it was like the early days for me hustling.
K-Fed, have you noticed that everyone to a person, 100% of the country is happy that she dumped your ass?
Nah, dude. You know what I'm saying?
No one's interested in your life.
Listen, white devil, shut your mouth for a second and understand that they're happy that now I can develop myself as an artist without that fat bitch weighing me down.
Because she was holding you back.
Yeah, I'll always be looked at as Britney's husband. You know what I'm saying? But now I can develop as a person on my own. I can get an independent sense
Good
of
luck
identity.
With that.
Identity. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
What's the name of your autobiography?
Wife Beaters and Cigarettes.
Wife Beaters and Cigarettes. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a spontaneous kind of confessional. It's prose. You know, it's much like Jack Kerouac. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah. Right, that famous author, right.
It's like my diary if I bring it to, you know, the public.
Now, Kevin, I have a CD here. Is this a song or is this part?
No, man. I've gotten the first three chapters are done on the book on tape.
Oh, so you, this is you reading your own work.
Yeah, you know, I had a ghostwriter and we figured, you know, I ghostwrite the book, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so, like, I had a ghostwriter, we finished up, you know, a couple months ago. Now I've actually gone in the studio at the Chocolate Parlor and the Crunk Factory and I laid down three of the chapters for the audiobook.
Okay.
And I thought I'd send them over to you so you guys can get a taste of what White Beaters and Cigarettes is all a biz out.
Okay, here's track number Whiz On, and it's called Menthols. Menthols, the audiobook.
It was a beautiful day in Fresno, California. I had just finished my last Marlboro Red, and I realized I didn't have any smokes in my rainy day stash beneath my bed. So I cruise into the kitchen where my mom's is cooking me an extra special birthday dinner. I'm like, yo, moms, you got any smokes, ho? No, I don't, honey. I use the last half of my pack of Capris as the candles on your cake. As she says that, she points to the cake on the table. It was a blueberry Pop-Tart with 5 Capris poking out the top. Just outside the kitchen window, I see Billy Joe Jenkins puffing on a smoke. I run outside and ask him if I can bum a cig. He hands me a cigarette and I frantically light it up and start puffing. This was like no other smoke I'd ever had. It was like a cigarette and Altoids rolled into one. From that point on, I only smoked menthols. Right. Plus, I never felt the need to brush my teeth again, since my newly minted cigarettes kept my mouth feeling hella cool. That's how I celebrated my 5th birthday.
5th birthday? Wait a minute. You were 5?
I was a G back then. You know what I'm saying?
You were 5?
That's the life of a hustler. You know what I'm saying? Slanging rocks, doing what I gotta do, hustling. You know, I didn't choose this life. I was born into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. Chapter 2 is labeled PlayStation.
Word.
Okay, here's chapter 2 of the audiobook.
I'd collected over 30,000 Marlboro miles with all my smoking, and Mom and Dad said I had no ambition. Well, I redeemed these Marlboro miles for a Sony PlayStation, and today was the day it arrived. I was so excited to open up the box and finally bear the fruits of my lung-destroying labor. This was just like Christmas, only without Dad passed out at the strip club with a Santa hat on his boner. The console only came with one game. It was Tomb Raider. Once I started playing, I looked up at Laura Croft, the main character, and I realized something. Damn, that bitch is hurting for a squirting, you know what I'm saying?
Aww.
Later on that day, I lubed up and shorted out my parents' TV when I covered it with my appendage nectar, you know what I'm saying? Booyakai.
Come on.
Kevin,
that's
a little early for appendage nectar, isn't it? Come on.
Oh. We don't need to know about that.
All right. There's one more chapter, and it's called Life as K-Fed Knows It.
Word.
Kevin Federline's audiobook from Wife Beaters and Cigarettes.
I was finishing my first year in high school, and I was now a grandfather. At age 14, I started to seriously think about what I was going to do with my life. As I sat in front of my family's 10-inch Zenith with illegal cable, I flipped the channels on the screen. Channel 206. What's this? Entertainment Tonight. Damn, it looks like Tom Arnold and Roseanne Barr are getting a divorce. What a douchebag he is, man. I mean, you have to be scum to marry some rich and famous woman and take her for all her cash. The whole marriage, all he did was party and goof off while his wife supported him and all his failed endeavors in the entertainment industry. That's straight pathetic, dog. I don't know much, man, but I know I'll never stoop that low.
That's right. That's science right there. Science.
Does that strike you as anything that's happened recently?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. We're looking forward to the book, K-Fed.
Word to your mother.
As long as the bird that hates Bean doesn't put us out of business. Because Bean has a bird. He does his show from a home in just outside Seattle. And a bird hates him. Hates him.
By the way, you say a home as if I've been put away, like in a padded room somewhere.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We sent him to a home.
That kind of home. Yeah. He has a bird that lands on the window and starts squawking at him every day, and he hates Bean.
I've never had a bird hate me.
Me either.
You're talking about the Blue Jay of Hate who's been stalking me for about 2 years?
The Blue Jay of Hate.
2 years? Seriously?
Yeah. Yes, 2 years. This bird has been up my ass.
Why wouldn't... I know that you won't kill even the smallest of animals because you're screwed up in the head. But why wouldn't you at least get, I don't know, like a BB gun or something to just kind of sting it a little bit, just to kind of get it to go away and not be there?
I'm not going
to
shoot a bird just because he lives in my yard.
No, but this is the Blue Jay of Hate.
Right, but it's his home. He lives here too.
Right, but he's full of hate.
I can coexist. Look,
dude,
2 years, he coexists with me.
That's true. He should take you out.
So,
2 years, a bird is squawking at me?
I'm sorry. I got to take it out. This bird, I know it sounds like Kevin's joking. It's not just that this bird's annoying. This bird follows me. This bird chases me. This bird comes and peers at me with his beady little bird eyes.
Really?
He sits outside the window for an hour at a time and just looks at me and goes, it really is kind of, I mean, it's to the point now where I don't know what's going on. It concerns me.
You're going to be walking outside one day and the bird, the Blue Jay of Hate, is going to swoop down and just take out an eye with his beak.
Oh, well, wow.
Hopefully it's the one with the tube.
That'd be the way to go, wouldn't it?
The Blue Jay of Hate.
Pecked to death by a Blue Jay.
If I'm telling you the honest truth, if that bird was doing that to me, I would have no problem killing that bird. None.
Dude, you don't kill a bird just because
you kill the Blue Jay of
bird,
Hate.
Because it does bird things. You don't kill
but
a bird.
But the other birds aren't mad at you. Just this one. This is the only bird that hates you, right?
Yeah. As far as I know, did I accidentally knock his nest down? I don't know what happened. I've never done anything to the Blue Jay of Hate that I'm aware of, but we're a little early right now. If it were half an hour from right now, I'd be able to turn the mic up and you'd be able to hear the Blue Jay of Hate because he's like clockwork.
It's just like women. Women instantly hate Bean. Just like as soon as they meet him, they hate him.
I think this bird hates the sound of his voice.
This bird is annoyed by everything Bean stands for.
Now, what
this
is
bird
this
hates the post office. He hates everything.
This note I'm getting from producer Lightning says that we have somebody on the phone to talk to us on this topic.
Well, no, we lined up the Blue Jay of Hate. We have him. Hello? Are you the Blue Jay of Hate?
I hate Bean.
That's him. That's the Blue Jay of Hate. I can verify that's definitely him.
What? Why do you hate Bean?
Oh, God, shut up, Bean! I like the post office. Edmund Fitzgerald, greatest song ever. Oh, Barry Manilow. Blythe Animals. The season ended today. The Mariners would be in first place.
But Blue Jay of Hate, I have to ask, you don't live in the house with me. How are you able to hear all this stuff?
Why you won't shut up! You're everywhere all over the island! Oh, Prairie Home Companion, Danica Keeler! Oh, I read on my blog today! I want you dead!
Have you tried to get any other birds on your side, Blue Jay of Hate?
Yes!
They don't care?
Try to get hawks.
Yeah.
Try to get eagles.
They don't care?
Try to get sparrows.
Wow.
They don't care.
You're a lonely voice in the wilderness.
I'm the only one who knows he must die.
Are you going to try and kill him?
Back! 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 Yes.
Yes, you are. Okay. Can you give me any kind of a hint as to how I should expect to die?
Yes. You will be pecked from the inside out.
Oh, wow.
How are you going to get inside?
I'm going in the back door.
Oh, no. No.
Don't bend over to feed the animals.
It is the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and you're lucky enough to be tuned to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Talk to Anxious in Arlita. Is that what's up next? The K-Rock listener who's in such bad shape emotionally that he's writing to the Kevin and Bean program for advice.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, that's not the best idea. Hello?
Hello?
Is this Monty?
Yes, it is. What's going on, guys?
Monty.
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 No idea.
You know I've got to be desperate if I'm calling you guys, if I'm emailing you.
Monty wrote this email. Dear Kevin, I have two kids and it's time to get snipped. I know you already went through it after you had the twins. I remember you said there was smoke. At the time, I laughed, but now I'm freaking out.
Sure.
The doctor said there is intense pain when you stick the needle in to numb you, and it's very uncomfortable for a few weeks after. Somebody else I know played tennis 3 days later. What was your experience like? Anxious in Arlita. You haven't done it yet, right, Monty?
No, not yet.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm going to be going on vacation in July, and they told me to wait till after the vacation.
You know, this isn't talked about that much, but 50% of people who go in for a vasectomy actually die on the table.
Did you know that?
Hey, yeah, it's half. Half survive, half die.
And the other half, their penis falls off.
That's right. Well, Monty, I was trying to think about my experience, and it's been a little while, so I had Omar go back and pull the tape of when I came on the air and told the story about my vasectomy.
So I go in, and they make me put on a little robe. And he has an assistant, and they, get ready.
What guy or girl? What's
girl?
Yeah,
Miss, she Miss Sweden 91.
Yeah, she's cute. All right. So anyway,
wasn't that part of your fear? That's why one of the reasons you didn't want to do a show with the vasectomy is you were worried about, you know, we'd be sending out hot chicks, and here you are trying to stay calm.
I can honestly say that this is the first time in my life
there was a hot chick around,
and I was too scared to even think about
it. Wow, that is serious.
I really was petrified. I was just sitting there. I was like starting to sweat.
So it's not even like you were trying to talk it down.
No.
Please not now.
No, because I was too scared. I was too afraid of what was just about to happen. And then they pull up the little table, and they start uncovering all the prehistoric tools. And the guy says, this is going to be the worst part of it. And he stabs me with the needle. Now, this hurts. And all you can think as a guy is, whenever something like this comes near you, you cover up, you move, you can't move.
You dodge.
You can't protect. You just have to sit there and let them inflict this pain.
Yes.
What's the doctor's assistant, Miss Sweden 91, doing at this time?
I don't know.
Yeah, you didn't even remember.
You just had
your eyes closed?
I was just like looking at the ceiling, and I was just like going, oh my God, this hurts, please stop. Then, right after that, he does something else that hurts worse.
Oh.
What did he do?
I don't know. I'm not watching. But I yelled at him. I said, ow! Like mad yelled. I was like a dick.
What the hell are you doing?
He said, well, that sounded mad. I said, you told me the last thing was going to be the worst. It hurts. So then he gave me another shot.
Which hurt again.
Dude, three times, one side, no.
What was the thing he did in the middle?
He must have started with the surgery and you weren't that deadened yet.
That's what happened.
Didn't you wait a minute?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he's used to most guys' pain level, and I think I was worse. So anyway, he goes through that, and then he says, don't worry about the smoke. And I said, what? He said, don't worry about the smoke. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and there was smoke coming up from the penis.
No.
Now that's bad, right?
Yes.
And I didn't even ask him what he was doing. I take for granted what they, I don't know what they do. And so right then when the smoke started coming up, I started sweating like a dog.
How long would you say the whole thing took?
15 minutes.
And
seemed like 4 weeks.
Did they stitch you back up?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch.
You don't know? You haven't
looked? He hasn't looked.
I didn't watch. I haven't looked.
I haven't looked to this day.
So when there's smoke coming off your jug, you consider that a positive, right?
So, Monty, that's what you have to look forward to.
Hey, yeah, thanks.
I forgot. When did you say you're scheduled to do this?
Well, it's not going to be till after July.
After July, like. Okay.
Just more time for it to settle in and...
Sure. Right. Now, I told you my experience, which is smoke and pain and sweating, and I almost passed out.
But, Kevin, to be completely honest, though, in the interest of full disclosure, you're a real weenie when it comes to pain. I mean, you weep when you give blood, right?
It's not pain.
You're just not good with pain.
It's not pain at all. It's needles. Needles scare the hell out of me. That's what the problem is. I mean, I guess pain is a secondary result of that. But I can handle pain. It's just needles freak me out. And so when you get needles and you put them with the junk and I'm not in control at all, you got to keep your hands away while they do what they want to do with a needle? No.
Bad combination. Yeah, I understand.
Okay, so.
Well, we got some fantastic calls, Monty. You're going to feel so much better after you hear from some of our K-Rock listeners who have been through it.
All right, Mike in Bellflower. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean and Lisa?
Hi.
Good. Help our man Monty. Tell us about your experience.
Well, I went in, and he, got me on the table, puts the needle in. That burned a little, but, it wasn't too much for me.
Oh.
He waits about a minute or two, and he starts poking around. He says, "You feel that?" I said, "Yeah." He starts to cut.
What? Isn't it supposed to be numb at that point?
I don't think he was paying attention.
So did you say, "I feel that"?
Well, actually, I yelled something other than that. So he looks down at me and goes, "Oh, I think we may need to give you a little more." I said, "You think so?"
Yeah. So then you get another shot with more anesthesia, so the fun just keeps on coming.
So he gets that, and then he starts tugging away on the plumbing. Now, I swear, I don't know where the plumbing exactly goes, but it felt like it was on the top of my stomach and ran down the sides of my legs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. You felt that everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, I didn't see the smoke, but I sure smelt the burning.
Sure. That's how they do it. Yeah. They close off the vast deference or whatever it is.
Oh, my God. That's the worst. Thank you for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. How you doing, Monty? Good?
Oh, yeah. I'm great.
Let's talk to Mike, who went back twice, it looks like, here. Mike, good morning.
Hey there. Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Hi, Mike.
Well, good morning. What happened the first time? Why did the vasectomy fail? You had to go back again.
Well, I guess just like any medical thing, one time out of whatever, they fail.
It just didn't work. And you go back in for a test, right?
You go, well, everyone goes in. You always hear about people going for the test, a month later or whatever it is. And here's what that is you don't fire blanks right away. You reload with blanks.
Right.
So they come back and make sure your count's at zero.
Right. So you went back in and it didn't work. You still had a high count.
Right. So come back again in another month, come back again in another month, and after the third time, the doctor wants to see you.
You had to go get another vasectomy.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. The second one was actually, way worse.
They
cut away pretty good. They don't just snip the vas deferens, but they hack out a chunk of it.
They take an axe and they just...
You are the man, though. You are such a man. They couldn't keep you down.
That's right, man. Your sperm was too powerful. His sperm was jumping from one tube to the other tube without even a way to get through. It's like a car going off a freeway.
You are a stud. Thanks for
the
call, Mike.
That's great. Oh, I love Robert Mission Viejo, too. This is what you want to look forward to, Monty.
Robert, hi.
Hey, Kevin, Bean, and Lisa May. How are you?
Good.
Good. What happened when you got a vasectomy?
Oh, mine was real interesting. I went in, and I had a great doctor. He put a mirror in front of me so I could watch it.
My doctor asked me if I wanted it. I said, no way.
it was pretty awesome because they go in and they dig in there and they pull out a piece of spaghetti and they just cut a section out.
Right.
But the great part is when they sit there and they cauterize it and that smell and look at the smoke and you're like, your junk's on fire. What do you do?
Yeah, that's bad news right there. They actually do set your junk on fire. Now, what happened afterwards, after your surgery?
Oh, mine was really good. Afterwards, the first day didn't hurt too bad till later at the night, but the next morning I woke up and they were about the size of grapefruits. I mean, they were just huge.
Dude.
And so and you couldn't walk. I mean, it hurt like heck. I mean, it was terrible.
The size of grapefruit.
Now, let me ask you this, Robert, because Monty in his email said that he's heard of people that take, months to recover, and then he had a friend who was playing tennis 3 days later. How long did it take you before you were kind of up around and acting normal?
The swelling took about 2 weeks to go away. I had to ice it. They called the doctor and ice it, off and on every 15 minutes. So it's real fun icing them, too, let me tell you.
Right.
But I got out of bed for about 3 days, but I couldn't, walk with pain for a good 2.5 weeks.
Perfect.
Wow.
That's a good story.
How long till you can have sex after a vasectomy, by the way?
Oh, I tried pretty quick.
It might have been a mistake. Maybe that's how they ended up like grapefruits.
Exactly. All right. Thanks for the call. Monty?
Yeah,
how you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be okay, Monty.
It's going to be fine. None of this stuff will happen to you.
Or all of it will.
Don't worry. It happens to the other person, right?
Yeah.
Don't worry about what Mike's about to tell us from Redondo Beach. Good morning, Mike.
How you doing?
What happened to you?
Okay, what happened was is that everything went fine. It feels like they're pulling your intestines out through your nuts. And after everything was over, they stitched me up and everything. And about 2 weeks later, I ripped my stitches.
Oh!
I was playing with my kids, and they ripped, and it started bleeding pretty bad. Had to go back to the doctors, get restitched.
Yes.
And then about 3 weeks after that, the skin grew back over the stitches.
Oh, dude, yes. So that requires even more surgery to cut the stitches out, right?
Cut the skin to get the stitch out.
Great. Fantastic.
It was, yeah.
There you go. So you had to
Mike
go back.
Mike had his done by a guy in the back of a van parked out in an alley.
All right, Monty, we're kind of out of time, but I hope we encouraged you today. I mean, I hope you feel a little better about your surgery coming up.
Oh, yeah. It can't be as bad as those I've heard.
No. Right, exactly. No, none of that will go wrong. So thanks for writing for some reassurance to me, buddy. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Kevin on tape. Kevin and Bean are on vacation. You're listening to the best of Kevin Bean. But I'll be here all week giving you all the latest showbiz news here in Ralph's Showbiz Beat. It is 6:52 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And before I do get to the stories this morning, I've got some tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Grindhouse, the new double bill of thrillers coming from Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. Tarantino's Death Proof and Rodriguez's Planet Terror on a double bill recreating some of Tarantino and Rodriguez's favorite types of films from the 70s, an era of excellent exploitation in cinema. It is Monday, March 26th is the world premiere. You'll see it downtown at the Egyptian Theater in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. The movie opens Friday, April 6th, everywhere, but you get to see it early if you can answer the following trivia question. If you're one of the first two callers at 1-800-520-1067 that has the correct answer, I'll give you a pair of tickets. How about that? Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino have collaborated many times in their careers. They're best friends. They consider each other brothers. But their big year was back in 1995 when the two first collaborated on two different motion pictures in that year. 1995 was the year. Name both of the movies that they worked on together, and you'll get a pair of tickets for the Grindhouse premiere if you're one of the first two callers. 1-800-520-1067. Well, the story I mentioned yesterday of Keanu Reeves running over a paparazzi is even better than I could have possibly imagined. Apparently, Keanu was handcuffed by police at the scene.
Yes.
After he hit the dude. That is awesome. They did like a Matrix thing and kicked him in the head. No, didn't happen. Apparently, according to police, Keanu was pulling away from the curb in his Porsche and accidentally hit this guy. Mr. Reeves said he was trying to pull away from the curb. As he pulled away, the photographer called out, "Ah, my knee," and Mr. Reeves immediately pulled over. However, the photographer has a different story. "After I took his picture, he was driving away from me, but then he turned around in a circle and drove straight at me. I've never had anyone go after me like this. He wanted to kill me." So I guess we'll have to sort through all the details at a later court proceeding, but
drastically different stories.
I hope it's the latter rather than the
former.
That'd
be awesome. I'd like Keanu so much more.
I was just going to say, I'd have so much respect for him if he just turned around, just gunned his Porsche at some guy trying to run him over. Apparently, the dude went to hospital, treated for a broken wrist and other injuries, so it was pretty severe, but still, me likey.
Just thinning out the herd.
Let's talk about rehab, shall we? Lindsay Lohan is out of rehab. Of course, she has since left the rehab clinic Wonderland here in Los Angeles. But before she left, she conducted a magazine interview with GQ magazine that they're publishing this week, where she talks about her life and the nature of her wild behavior and what she's going to do to get herself straight. Apparently, in the article, she mentions, "I need a boyfriend. There are three different boys I like, maybe five." Is this an article with a movie actress, or is this a diary from a girl in 12th grade?
It's getting out of control. I mean, everybody always says Hollywood's a parody, and it's just like high school. But, this is getting ridiculous.
She also tells GQ, "I bought two puppies today. Sober impulse buying of companions who will help me stay at home."
Oh, God.
Yeah. It is. It's like a 12-year-old's diary.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
GQ's going to publish that because they think we want to read it.
Sure.
Maybe some people do. We have a winner to my trivia questions?
We do. It's Lucien in Thousand Oaks.
Lucien?
Uh-huh.
Lucien, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Quentin and Robert Rodriguez worked together in 1995 on two different films. Can you name them?
Yeah, Four Rooms and Desperado, one of my favorite movies.
That's right. Quentin was an actor in Desperado, and they both directed a section of the Four Rooms movie. Congratulations. Hold on, and I will give you details about how you can pick up your tickets to see the world premiere. Thanks, Lucien.
We also have a second winner, Cheryl in Sherman Oaks. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Cheryl. More rehab update. Britney Spears will be leaving rehab this week, according to sources close to the singer and Promises Treatment Center in Malibu. She will be released. According to these same sources, counselors think that she's ready to take on the world again after battling her substance abuse demons. They can't have it both ways. They can't tell us, oh, she's struggling and she has no interest in the therapy and she's not taking her meds, too. Oh, yeah, she's cured. She's going to be fine.
I agree. They can't just flip the switch on us like that.
TMZ.com says that she had an amazing meeting with her estranged husband, Kevin Federline, where they decided they were going to deal amicably with their split and their custody issues over their sons, Sean Preston and Jaden James. Apparently, they're going to split physical custody evenly until Brittany can get back on her feet again, and then she will take over primary custody, and K-Fed can F off the way he'd like to and disappear and go party in Vegas.
It's weird having Kevin Federline come through into a situation and, you know, give us clarity.
Yeah. I'm still starting the Britney Spears cocktail calendar, though. I'm just going to start counting down until she has her first drink.
Well, she's a wreck.
She falls off the wagon. And a lot of controversy regarding these billboards here in Los Angeles and in New York as well. I don't know if you've seen them or not, but they're advertising the movie Captivity. Have you seen these billboards?
I have not. I've heard the controversy. I've not seen it myself.
Apparently, the movie stars Alicia Cuthbert, and in four different panels on the billboard, it shows a woman being kidnapped, then confined, then tortured with some sort of tubes up her nose, and then murdered. Well, apparently some women's groups don't like the message that's sending, and some parental groups say that it's disturbing to young children, so they've insisted that the billboards be ripped down. Here's where the story gets hilarious. Producers are insisting the billboards went up by mistake. They said, of course, we'll take them down. We had no idea that they were up there. Someone told the Hollywood Reporter, one of the producers of the films, that wrong files were sent to the printer, who then passed them on to the billboard company without any approval from any of the executives involving the film. And he said he had no idea the wrong billboards were posted until he started receiving complaint phone calls and emails from angry parents and offended women. They had no idea. Of course, they'll take him down.
Now, Ralph, you're a pretty seasoned veteran of the movie industry and showbiz as a whole.
I have little experience.
But, you know, from what you know, what are the chances of that being true? I mean,
no one can wipe their ass on a movie without getting
a
contract signed off by nine different executives. All these people micromanage this crap until it's just beaten down into pulp. There's no way that any of these executives had no idea what advertising campaign they were putting up on billboards in Los Angeles and New York. I call them liars! Liars, I say!
Shame on you.
Shame on you, liars. Today's celebrity birthdays, Timothy Dalton, the worst James Bond.
Yeah.
Of all the Bonds. He's 61 years old today. Gary Oldman, very talented actor. He was Sirius Black in Harry Potter. He was Dracula in the... who directed that? Francis Ford Coppola. Ford Coppola's version. He's 49 years old today. Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh.
Why does she have to get another year older? Matthew Broderick is 45 years old today, as is Rosie O'Donnell. And Eddie Money, singer, songwriter, legend. Man among men, Eddie Money.
Didn't you have a duet with him once?
Well, almost. He forgot to bring me on stage when I was standing in the wings.
But has since apologized.
Has many times apologized, and I'm not holding that against the money man. Baby, hold on to me. Someday we will sing together. He's 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph gave me a DVD not too long ago, and it was about the Da Vinci Code.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the Da Vinci Code. And it gave a lot of explanation as to what the real truth is behind everything. And for those of you that don't know what the Da Vinci Code is, it's just a story of fiction about the fact that Jesus actually was married to Mary Magdalene and had a kid. So now there's a bloodline. And they had kids and kids and kids, and the church has been trying to keep all of this quiet.
Right.
But supposedly there's, you know, a girl who is actually the descendant of Christ in the story.
Is she hot? She's got to be hot.
Way hot.
I mean, that's got to be the bloodline of all time
she's
right there.
She's the Audrey Tattoo or whatever her name is.
Oh, yeah.
Way hot.
Well,
and so halfway through the movie, you know, I forget. I read the book, but I totally forgot. Halfway through the movie, I was going, wow, what I would want to do to her. And then I find out she's, you know, Jesus' bloodline. I go, not so much.
Well, clearly Jesus' bloodline is allowed to have sex or they wouldn't still be on Earth.
Yeah.
That's right.
So you're allowed to do her.
I guess, but it just felt a little different all of a sudden.
It feels wrong.
And then in the story, there is a group of Catholics, a super secret group of Catholics, and the Knights Templar are they're the warriors that are supposed to keep everything quiet.
Right.
And there's a guy named Silas in the movie who whips himself, and that's from one of these groups called Opus Dei.
This is one of those mysterious cloak and dagger organizations that you hear, like Skulls and Bones, you hear something about, but you never quite get the full story, and they're kind of secretive, and no one will ever kind of talk about what it is they do or why. They're the Illuminati. They're always the behind-the-scenes guys who are pulling the strings on the rest of us.
According to the article in Time Magazine, there are 85,000 worldwide, only 3,000 in the U.S. in Opus Dei.
Oh. You don't know who any of them are.
You don't know who any of them are because of their vow of secrecy.
One of them could be in this room. One of us could be in Opus Dei.
Wouldn't it be funny if Bean was in Opus Dei? He pulled up his shirt and he's got whip marks all over his back.
That's most devout Catholic ever.
That's one of the things that they said in the story, and who knows if it's true or not, but in the story they say that these people from Opus Dei, they whip themselves and things like that so that they can remind themselves of the pain that Jesus went through when he was on Earth.
Dude, just put up a black velvet painting of it or something. Just something to look at. You don't need to do it.
Also, according to Time Magazine, they found $344 million in Opus assets in the U.S. and roughly $2.8 billion because according to what's true in Opus Dei, you're supposed to give up all of your assets and live
without
poverty.
Well, we have a lot to ask Opus Dei, and like I said before, I don't know how Lightning was able to do it, but under the shroud of secrecy, he was able to line somebody up from the organization who is willing to go on the air and talk to us, and he has asked that we call him Mr. X. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're fine, sir, but really we have more questions than answers about Opus Dei, and I got to tell you, the movie didn't exactly make it clear to me.
Well, I'm happy to clear anything up, any questions that you may have regarding Opus Dei. We are we're not a very public organization. We do tend to keep our membership secretive as well as some of the ongoings, but I can give you a brief overview of what we are.
Yes, that'd be very helpful.
Basically, what Opus Dei is a group of lay people as opposed to the clergy who have taken the teachings of Jesus Christ and the doctrine of the Catholic Church and injected it into our everyday lives in a complete and total manner. We live in a current climate of what people call selective Catholics or smorgasbord Catholics who choose only to use the doctrine of the Catholic Church that fits their lives. However, we believe in it in its totality.
What about the part in the movie where you guys, you know, beat yourselves and torture yourselves and whip yourselves? What about all that?
Well, we do have an overarching spirituality in our lives, and part of that process is the penance for our sins in front of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Right.
And we do some symbolic flogging to show penance for our sins, and also to remind ourselves of the pain that Christ went through when He was here on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Was it, Mr. X? Was that? Did you just hit yourself right now while you're on the phone?
I'm currently in prayers. Caught me at a bad time, so I have to periodically.
Is this a bad time?
No, that's okay. Let's keep going.
Well, okay.
Please don't do that anymore. We don't really want to hear any of that. That sounds awful.
Well, listen, I don't tell you how to practice your religion. I would expect the same respect from you.
I'm sorry, Mr. X.
Wow.
Are you allowed?
That stings.
Are you allowed to use that language?
No, I'm not really supposed to, but sometimes it just gets the best of me.
Well, I can certainly understand why.
But the point is that we're trying to make about this movie and the book, The Da Vinci Code, is that we're in no way an evil empire that has wide-reaching political or spiritual ramifications.
Ow, Jesus! F***ing Christ!
Mr. X, that seems like at least taking the Lord's name in vain, not to mention the bad language, sir.
Well, we do have members of Opus Dei who are politicians and who are entrenched in the church.
Right.
Ow! F*** me! Jesus! F*** me, Christ. Oh, that is bullshit.
Mr. X.
Woo!
Mr. X.
Ow! Oh, balls! Oh, God damn it!
I think
we caught me in hell! Ow!
I think we caught you at a bad time.
Ow! Jesus, f*** me!
Maybe we should...
Ow, come on!
Call back.
Ow! This is f***ing nuts!
Wait, are you doing that to yourself?
Yes! Ow!
Well, stop
Holy
it!
F***ing Christ! Oh, b- me, Jesus!
Okay.
Oh, man!
That's fine.
Ow! Ow! That is gonna leave a mark!
Beans in trouble, beans in trouble, beans in trouble.
Mr. It's the Goody Two-Shoes.
Kevin and Bean Show, 7:37, Tuesday morning. By the way, pole dancing, the hot new exercise trend for the ladies in Southern California. We support that completely. We'll talk to a teacher of pole dancing just after 8 o'clock this morning.
Beans in trouble.
Yeah, don't change the subject.
And we're going to be looking for K-Rock's richest listeners in the 8 o'clock hour also. People who are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. We've already got a couple that we're going to talk to. We're going to be looking for more to find out what that's like.
I'm always the one in trouble, and I'm so happy that this is happening for Bean now. I got an email that I'm going to read on the air.
Okay.
And Bean, you're going to have to tell us what this is about because I'm not exactly sure. They don't mention what Bean did, but I'm going to read you the letter that was written to Bean. It was also CC'd to me.
Okay.
And it's from the registrar company. I guess Bean owns a website that's getting him in trouble. Okay.
Oh, really? One of my websites is getting me in trouble?
Now, we hear all the time, oh, I didn't know that was real, that Bean already owns those websites. I thought you were just kidding. No, he really owns, like, I don't know, 25 websites or something like that. And one of them has gotten him in trouble. So I want to read this to everybody because this is going to be great. Dear Bean, please note that we recently received a complaint from a representative of the NAACP regarding your domain name. In its complaint, the NAACP requested that we cancel registration of the domain names.
Oh, black man can't own a website?
You're not black.
While we have the absolute right to cancel any domain name under our registration agreement with you, we have decided not to cancel the domain name at this time. Now, already at this point, I'm saying, what domain name is it that's getting them in trouble? So I'll read on. We do not wish to create the appearance that we approve of racially motivated domain names.
Like, what can they be talking
young,
about?
Young, hot, and Asian.
However, he does have young, hot, and Asian, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Well, they're not complaining about young, hot, and Asian.com from the NAACP, are they?
I wouldn't think so.
We prefer not to be associated with any domain name that is obviously racially objectionable.
Okay.
Well, I don't think I have any like that at all.
Therefore, inasmuch as it appears that the domain name that you have registered with us falls into that category, we have discontinued any free DNS service we were providing in relation to domain names. That includes your use of the parked servers, for sale pages, forwarding, and or masking. Our action prevents your domain names from being directed to GoDaddy.com. Now, we are sending this notice as a courtesy to you so that you can make changes in the DNS associated with the domain names if you so choose.
In other words, they'll continue to let me register it with them. They'll host it for me, but not. I can't put up a website using their services.
What? What have you done? What did the NAACP have against one of your websites?
Well, why doesn't the NAACP crawl out of my ass, for starters? What did I ever do to them?
But why don't they tell us what the website
is?
Yeah,
what is it?
List your websites. Go down. Bean really does own like 27, 28 websites.
And does something with two of them.
go through the websites that you own and read them to us.
Of course, I can't think of all of them off the top of my head, I don't think younghotandasian.com is the one that they would have a complaint with, because who can have any complaint about young hot Asians? I mean, seriously.
Younghotandasian.com. Okay, so probably not that one for NAACP. Have you done anything with that one yet?
Not so much.
No. Are you planning to?
It depends if I can get the photo shoot set up with intern Chris that I've been working on behind the scenes. If that happens, yes, absolutely. They wouldn't have any complaint about andygibb.com, I don't think.
No,
right?
No.
It's the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Okay. I own England Dan and John Ford Coley.com, but certainly they wouldn't care about that, right?
Well, no, but they should just beat you on the head for having it. England Dan and what?
John Ford Coley, right? How about rickdsucks.com? Could that be it?
Rickdsucks.
I don't think the NAACP's big fan of Rick's, do you?
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to protect him. No.
Okay. I wouldn't think so.
But it's about time to get rid of that one since he's a ghost.
He's gone, yeah. Rick Dees is unemployed.com is the new one that Rick Dees, sadly, is doing Toyota of Orange commercials for a living now is the new website that I ought to get. Let me see. Of course, Rick's boss over at KISS, RoyLaughlin.com. I still own that. But
He's a jackass, but I don't think he would in particular be offensive to the NAACP. So that's not
so weird.
Of course, I've got Ryan Seacrest is allegedly gay.com. I do still own that.
Well, what are you doing with that one?
That one I really do need to get up and running now that he's on every TV show on Earth and has turned into just a giant tool. I really do have to get that one up.
So basically, you just buy these websites with these plans, these great big plans to launch all the websites, but you don't really do anything
with
them.
Well, he gets distracted watching TV.
Yeah, I do. I do watch TV. But here's what it is, guys. Websites are my thing, but it's no different then. And who hasn't done this? Who hasn't been in a bookstore and said, man, I don't have time now, but I'm going to buy this book because I believe one day I'm going to have the time. I'm going to be on vacation or something. Sit down and read this and really enjoy it, but you just never get to it because you're busy.
Right, but you have
your life is busy.
Yes, but you have to pay for these websites each year to renew them.
But they're so inexpensive. They're like $8 a year. Right. You know, it's not a huge.
So it's probably not Ryan Seacrest is allegedlygay.com.
Could it be Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.com?
No, they don't care about that. No one cares about that.
That's in it. KevinandBean.com.
Don't care.
JanelleMaloney.com.
She's an actress on The West Wing that Bean likes.
Yes, she is. Bean loves,
by
the way.
He bought her website. And
creeped her out.
Yeah, we told her, and she's like, ew.
PabloCruz.com, I got
Pablo
that.
Pablo Cruz, is he still
HalloweenSpooks.com. I have HalloweenSpooks.com in case.
What are you going to do with that? Why would you buy that? What are you going to do with HalloweenSpooks.com?
I don't know, but you'll never know when there's an occasion for that.
There's not going to be an occasion for a website. No, this is the worst song ever. I hate this song when it comes around that time of year.
Maybe that's what the NAACP is complaining about.
Halloween.
Why would you buy a website by that name?
Ah, how about this?
Wait a minute. We'll get to the list in a second. What do you plan on doing with that website?
Dude, I've got vision, man.
What is it?
I've got plans.
Give us a little taste. Drop a couple of breadcrumbs for us.
Yeah, but I don't want to spoil it because somebody else is going to get on my tip. You know how it is, man.
Yeah, sure.
Now, ClydeTumbaugh.com is one of my new websites.
Who's that? Is he black?
You know what? He's not. He's the guy who discovered Pluto. So I want to do a tribute site to Clyde Tumbaugh because he's a great American, but I don't think that would be NAACP territory either.
You're not going to do a website about a guy who discovered Pluto?
I am, because I thought that was very impressive.
Okay, not him. NAACP, they're upset about something. Tell me what it is.
Niggaplease.com? I don't know if that's the one.
What?
You think?
Are you kidding?
You own that? Niggaplease, you know.
You own that?
That's one of that. I didn't even think about that one as I was going over the list.
That's what they're upset about.
Oh, you think that's it?
Of course.
Oh, well, come on with that.
What are you going to do with that?
What are you going to do with that?
Bean, what's wrong with
you? I don't have a full plan worked out of what I'm going to do.
But why would you buy that website?
It's just,
you really own that?
It comes up so often. I mean, in conversation, you hear people say it, and it's always funny. And I thought, well, there's got to be some use for nigga, please. You know?
How do you spell him, please, big boy?
Hey, Bean, shut up.
Bean, you're a shithead.
Yeah.
You think that's it?
Of course that's it. Because of the word.
Well, what's wrong with please? Black people don't say please? Black people are polite. What are you saying?
I can't believe you own that.
I hadn't even thought that might be the one.
What could you possibly have been planning to do with that?
Bean's an ass.
Yeah.
Well, I think the first thing I'm going to do is post a letter from the NAACP up on it.
That would be funny.
I think that's the first order of business, I think. Nigga, please.
That is so perfect. Of course that's what they're upset about.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh. That's it.
Now, you got to put the letter up on that now.
Yes.
You have to do that.
It'd be very funny.
All right, I guess.
Bean's in trouble with the NAACP. Nice.
You know, I saw Tom Cruise on the TV yesterday before we go to Tom on the phone.
Yeah?
He was on the Ellen show, and just for a minute, it was one of those, you know, like interviews backstage somewhere. And Katie Holmes was there, and Tom wanted to make sure everybody knew that Katie Holmes was pregnant. Oh, look how beautiful she is. He's rubbing her belly. Because Tom, of course, it's the first time anyone's ever been pregnant, and Tom wants to make sure that everybody knows it's his kid.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Tom has done a lot of research on a lot of things as we bring him onto the show. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We're good, thank you.
Well, we're fine. So, really, you got Katie Holmes pregnant, huh?
Yes, isn't she beautiful? She's beautiful, yeah. She's pregnant, and she's going to give birth to another human being. It's going to come out of her body.
Right,
right.
That's a miracle.
That happens. It is a miracle, but it happens every day.
Really?
Yeah, to people everywhere.
Even people who aren't famous, Tom.
On a spaceship?
No, not on a spaceship.
That's just you guys. All right, here's what we've done, because Tom is the authority on so many subjects. He's done the research. Once in a while, Tom stops by on the phone to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. It's a little feature we like to call Kevin and Bean's Cruising Through Life.
Feel like you're stuck in the gridlock of life's highway? Well, you don't have to be anymore. Spend a few moments with Tom Cruise, and the next thing you know, you'll be cruising through life.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Any questions are fine, right, Tom? Anything having to do with your relationships or...
I know it all.
Job, anything. Okay. Let's start with Fernando, who is calling us from Los Angeles. Good morning, Fernando. Hello, Fernando.
Did the mine collapse?
Hello.
All right, we're going to move on to
Thanks for
Joe.
Calling.
We had to let him go.
First thing you need to do is move from the North Pole.
1-800-520-1067. If you've got a question for Tom, we go to Joe in Newport Beach. Joe, you're on with Tom Cruise. Go ahead.
Joe.
What is the problem
Joe,
here? What's
Joe,
going on?
Joe.
Can you hear us, Joe?
Joe, don't be glib.
Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
How you doing? Good morning, guys.
Hi.
You're so glib, Joe.
Welcome to Cruising Through Life. You're on with Tom.
Yeah, hey, Tom. I had a really important question. I'm kind of stuck on the road to life here. I have no meaning, no direction. What do you think the purpose, the meaning of life is? Why are we here?
What a great question. Tom?
First, Joe, I think you need to take a personality test. There are several places in Hollywood you can stop in and take a personality test.
Is this just a Scientology plug?
And bring your checkbook.
Okay.
Great.
That's it? That's the meaning of life?
We'll see you down there. Well, we're going to teach you the meaning of life.
Oh, I see. All right.
But you don't get that kind of information for free, it sounds like.
I got you. Thanks.
Wait till he's clear.
All right, let's go to Ed in Glendora. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
You're on with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, listen, I have a really important business meeting, and this is the most important thing I need to ask him. Boxers or briefs?
Tom, you have his attention.
Oh, okay. First of all, did you know that boxers are now being used as a street drug? Kids are rolling up boxers and injecting them into their veins. Briefs. Briefs is the only way to go. Did you ever see Risky Business?
Yeah.
Me dancing around in the briefs and the shirt and the sunglasses? Chicks dig it. And so go right to that meeting and just take your pants off and start dancing around in your shirt.
You're saying that he should take his pants off at the meeting?
Absolutely.
Because you did it in a movie?
Old-time rock and roll. Works every time.
All right. Good luck, Ed.
That sounds like good advice, I guess, Tom. Let's go to Julian. Julian is in Santa Ana. You got a question on cruising through life. Go ahead. You're on with Tom.
All right, Tom. I got a question. I want to see if I should tell my friend that his girlfriend's a whore. Should I tell him?
You have a friend whose girlfriend is a whore, and you want to know whether to tell him that or not?
Yeah, because he doesn't know it. Like, we all heard stories, but he's the only one that doesn't know it.
Uh-oh. Tom, how would you counsel this young man?
Julian. Don't be glib.
Okay.
Have you banged the girlfriend?
Have I?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
Because it's his best friend.
With her.
What's that?
I never drank with her.
You never drank with her?
No.
Or get her drunk, bang her, and then tell the friend. But don't tell until after you've had her, because then you might not see her again. You got to take your shot while you can.
That is genius.
Okay.
It is genius. That's because Tom's done the research. He knows, although I rarely hear you talk about advising people to slut it up, Tom. That doesn't sound like you at all.
Why not?
Okay.
I love sex. Sex is natural. Sex is a natural part of life.
With girls?
Sometimes when you have sex... You make a baby.
Right.
My wife's pregnant. Did you know that my fiance is pregnant?
Yeah. Fernando, good morning.
Hey.
Welcome to Cruising Through Life. You're on with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Tom. I've been with my girlfriend for more than 4 years. We have a baby together, and I want to know if I should take it to the next step and propose her.
Should he marry her?
Yeah.
Fernando.
Turn down your radio, Fernando.
All right.
Fernando, turn on the radio. Don't be great. You've already got a baby with this woman?
Yeah.
No, don't marry her.
What?
She's used goods.
What?
She's damaged.
Tom, your girlfriend is pregnant and you're getting ready to marry her.
Oh, crap.
All right, thank you, Fernando, for the call.
Let's close
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, seriously, take your advice. Let's close with Dave down in Long Beach. I think he's got some... we got a couple good calls. Let's go to Dave in Long Beach, because this is a question that we hear from time to time from the K-Rock listeners. Tom, maybe you can help Dave. Go ahead.
Hey,
Tom. How you doing?
Good, Dave. What's up?
Hey, you know what? I'm 38 years old. I'm married. I have two kids, but I can't stop masturbating.
How does he do that, Tom?
Do you think about men sometimes when you masturbate?
Never.
What?
Oh, really?
What?
That's not common?
No.
Tom, he wants to cut down, though. He feels like he's doing it too much. What can he do?
And you said you're married?
Yes. And I get it. I get it three times a week.
Here's what you do. You super glue. Put some super glue on your hand.
Tom.
I've done the research. I know about this. I know about masturbation. I'm masturbating right now.
Oh, Tom, that's more than we wanted to know. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Dave. Come on, Tom. We're on the air. You know that, right? All right, let's go.
Oh, God.
I believe we're done, and so is Tom.
Oh, thank you for
cruising through life.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, party people. It is 8 o'clock here at the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock, 106.7 FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. You are listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. However, I will be here all week giving you the latest in showbiz news. And before I get to that, I've got more tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Grindhouse. It's going to be Monday, March the 26th. This is the double bill of thrillers with Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof and Robert Rodriguez's Planet Terror back-to-back. It opens in theaters on Friday, April 6th, but you get to see it ahead of time along with all the stars. You got your Bruce Willis, your Kurt Russell, your Rose McGowan.
Oh.
Red Carpet World premiere held downtown at the Egyptian Theater. The Orpheum Theater downtown. If you'd like to go, I want to give it to a Quentin fan, so I will ask a trivia question. If you're one of the first two callers at 1-800-520-1067 to call in with the correct answer, you get a pair of tickets. Here's your trivia question. Of course, in 1992, Reservoir Dogs brought Quentin Tarantino to the public consciousness when that movie exploded. However, he had written a couple screenplays before that film was released. In fact, his first screenplay was written in 1985, according to most of his biographies. What was the name of that screenplay? What was the name of Quentin Tarantino's first screenplay from 1985? If you know the answer, rather, call the number down, 1-800-520-1067. Well, Britney Spears, out of rehab again, only this time they let her out. Her manager released a statement last night saying Brit has been released by Promises. After successfully completing their program, she says, we ask that the media respects her privacy as well as those of her family and friends at this time. Well, the media respectfully asks her, stop acting like an a-hole so we can't avoid her. Stop shaving your head and piercing your labia and becoming a drunken wreck, and we'll respect your privacy. But don't just flaunt your insanity and then expect us to look the other way, Brittany. Shanna Mokler is apparently back with our boy Travis Barker from Blink.
Really?
The couple recently reunited at the 32nd birthday party he tossed for her over the weekend in Miami's Cameo nightclub, where he sang happy birthday, and they were kissing and hanging out together. So rumor is that the two of them are going to give it another shot.
You know, it's interesting because that divorce or their breakup at first was pretty contentious.
It was ugly. Remember all that MySpace stuff that was going on?
Nasty.
And Travis said he had found condoms in the house, and they don't use condoms, and she was banging other guys behind his back.
So, well.
Although they seem like a couple that sort of could thrive on that sort of drama.
Addicted to the drama.
Yeah, that sort of up and down, that roller coaster ride that some people get off on.
Some people love the chaos.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people. Oh, Ralph Fiennes. This story keeps getting better. Remember I told you he was banging a flight attendant on a flight from on Qantas Airlines.
Attaboy.
The flight attendant took him into the bathroom, and they joined the Mile High Club together, and then she was fired from her job because of that fact. Even after she denied it, she eventually came forward and said, yes, I asked him to come to the bathroom with me, and we went at it. Well, here's the thing. Not only was she a flight attendant, she's also a former hooker who made up to $2,000 a night in an Australian brothel called Stiletto as recently as last year. Apparently, she needed to make a little extra money because Qantas wasn't paying her enough, so she took on the job as a whore. And now Qantas has fired her, so I guess that makes her a full-time whore.
Can you blame her for wanting to have a little synergy between her two occupations?
No, I think it's a great idea. You want to keep in shape, you know? You don't want to lose your edge.
Sharpen up.
We got a winner!
Nelly.
We have a winner to my trivia question. There's Psycho Mike. Who are we talking to?
We're talking to Israel in Panorama City.
Israel.
Morning, Ralph.
Good morning. What was Quentin Tarantino's very first screenplay?
It was Captain Peach Fuzz and the Anchovy Bandit.
Captain Peach Fuzz and the Anchovy Bandit. You're absolutely right. That's a movie I want to see made, by the way. By the title alone, I want to see that. Hold on, we'll give you all the details. You're going to see the world premiere of Grindhouse.
Yeah, thanks, Ralph.
Yay.
Also, congratulations to Hector in the LBC.
Way to go, Hector. And lastly, new couples alerts from Star Magazine. They're telling us who is banging who these days. Apparently, Julian McMahon from Nip Tuck and from the Sandra Bullock movie Premonition has a new girlfriend. Model Kelly Paniagua. Mm. Paniagua. I've seen pictures of her, by the way.
Sounds hot.
Yeah.
She's good?
Yeah. I mentioned last weekend Ryan Reynolds and Jessica Biel.
I refuse to believe it.
Wrong on every possible level. But this is new to me. Julia McMahon's co-star from Nip Tuck, Kelly Carlson. I know you're a Kelly Carlson fan,
yeah.
Psycho.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, she has hooked up with Dave Navarro. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Dave Navarro.
Strong. Good job.
Two of them are hooked up together.
Okay.
That Navarro does it right for himself, doesn't he?
He is... He's not struggling in the poontang department.
No, he is not. He is. He's got a plethora of poontang, as we say in the poontang business. Today's celebrity birthdays: Matthew Broderick, one of my favorite actors. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, one of the great comedies ever.
Never gets old.
45 years old today, as is Rosie O'Donnell. She's also 45 years old today.
Don't be stupid.
Gary Coleman. No, not Gary Coleman. Gary Oldman. Boy, could those guys not be any different? I don't know. I mistook those two. He, of course, Sirius Black in Harry Potter. He was Dracula, 49 years old today. Very talented actor. Timothy Dalton, the worst of all the Bonds from the Bond movies.
He's not even open for debate.
Nope. He's 61 years old today. And Eddie Money, my man, the Money Man. Of course, Two Tickets to Paradise. I don't have time to list all of his hits. But I wish Eddie a very happy birthday today. He's 58. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's Friday morning. Brandon Davis has joined us. Hey, Brandon, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, my friend.
Turn on my microphones.
It's not on.
Oh, wait, I have them backwards. Do that.
What's wrong with
you? There
you
go. Okay.
Hello, sorry. Bean.
Hi,
hello, Kevin. Lisa, how are you?
Hello.
I thought it might be worthwhile for maybe the K-Rock listeners who don't recognize your name, Brandon, and I'm sorry if that offends you, but there are some out there who really have no idea who you are.
Stupid
so I went to your Wikipedia encyclopedia entry online.
Okay.
And here's what it says about Brandon Davis. And by the way, the entirety of Brandon Davis's Wikipedia entry is two lines. Okay? And now that I look at it, one sentence. Brandon Davis is a former model and grandson of billionaire Marvin Davis. Brandon is known almost solely for being a friend of Paris Hilton's and verbally attacking Lindsay Lohan in a video that has been posted to the internet. That is the of your experience on Earth.
Well, you know, not everybody can be as prolific as my friend Paris. I understand that, you know, the entertainment industry can be rough.
Mm-hmm.
But with friends like Scott Storch and Paris, I'm destined to make it. I'm working hard, okay? I'm working real hard.
It seems like you're just throwing cash around and going to nightclubs and partying and that's it. You're not really doing – you don't have a movie coming out, do you? You don't have record coming out?
I do. The summer 2007, the feature film remake of the popular show Perfect Strangers will be in theaters and I play – Cousin Larry, opposite the zany Stephen Baldwin.
No, you don't.
Yes, Stephen Baldwin plays Balky.
That's just not true.
We're shopping at the studios. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, we're not getting a lot of response, but you'll see.
Okay.
I'm going to take over Hollywood.
All right.
I have two quick questions for
you.
Yes? One is, do you have a speech impediment? Because it seems like maybe you've got a little bit of a lisp or something.
The nerves around my mouth have gone numb from too much blow.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, right.
But other than that, I think my speech is quite good.
Okay, my second question is, Lisa's always complaining how cold it is here in the studio. It's about 62 degrees, yet you seem to be sweating profusely. What's up with that?
I just came in from the club boogieing down.
You boogied down?
Straight in. I boogied down for hours and hours on end.
So you're known mainly for hanging out with Paris Hilton and for saying that Lindsay Lohan has a fire crotch.
Which she in fact does.
Right. And is it true that your Halloween costume earlier this week was a big orange, what you called a fire crotch, on your head? Like you dyed your hair bright orange and said it was Lindsay's fire crotch.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense to put flames on your head and say you're a crotch.
Yes.
That was my costume.
Now, was the story that we heard, I think, last week that you were out of money? Is that true that you had to have Scott Storch buy your dinner?
Times are tough. Times are tough right now, but like I said, I've got a lot of things, you know, on the horizon. I'm opening my own record label, in fact.
Your own record
yes,
label.
Yes, Sweaty Bear Records.
Okay.
Take over the industry.
This is the last time you were in.
Fire Crutch.
Oh.
I say it's disgusting.
And I see, can't help but notice you've got a guitar with you this morning.
Yes.
Are you going to perform for us again?
Well, here's the thing, Kevin.
Yes?
Lindsay Lohan
mm-hmm.
owes her entire career to me. And
that's
although we went out to dinner.
Yeah, I thought you made up with her now.
We did sort of make amends.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it's great going out to dinner with Lindsay Lohan because my meat was a bit undercooked.
Right.
And I just threw it at the hibachi between her legs and there you go. It was good as new.
I thought we made up. I thought you put all that ugliness behind you.
Sort of. As I was reflecting on life mm-hmm. last night, as I often do at Hyde.
Sure. That's a good place to reflect on life.
I thought to myself, Lindsay Lohan has made movies.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay Lohan has made music.
Right.
Right.
But what really keeps Lindsay Lohan on the tip of everybody's tongue
mm-hmm.
and on the cover of the magazines?
Yes.
Brandon Davis talking about her crotch.
Oh, I see. So you're doing her a favor.
She owes me tremendously.
She owes you because you talk about her fire crotch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Okay.
Now, is today's song also about Lindsay's fire crotch?
It is, and it is also about what I've done for her and her career.
Okay.
Through the powers of her fire crotch and her gigantic penis depot.
Okay. All right, live music now from Brandon Davis in the studio. What's the name of this one, Brandon?
This is called Lips of Glory.
Lips of Glory.
Great. Hit it, Steve. Can't really say hit it, Steve, Lisa, because I'm the only one playing music.
It's true.
It's ridiculous.
He said hit
sense.
It, Steve, and then started playing the guitar himself.
Right. Now I know you've had some fame, but what put you on the map is me talking about the fire pit nestled in between your lap. I know Mean Girls was a hit, Freaky Friday did well too, but your fiery little labia is the reason we know you. I know I'm just a worthless mooch.
That's true.
But I discovered flames living in your cooch. You can thank me, Brendan D, for telling the story of your lips of glory. Tell Wilma Valderrama to mow my lawn. You can thank me, Brendan D, for telling the story of your lips of glory. It's a banana split, but the cherry's long gone. Cherry's long gone. So it's a hymen joke, Lisa.
Got that.
Like two horse tongues in your pants.
Oh.
Drooping in your hips. Like Steven Tyler kissing Mick Jagger on the lips. The curtains made of beef right between your knees. Fire crotch is clocking 365 degrees. I know you may be young and naive, but the reason that you're famous is your crimson beef. Crimson beef. You can thank me, Brendan D, for telling the story of your lips of glory, the knuckles of the world's largest moose. You can thank me, Brendan D, for telling the story of your lips of glory. You sank the ship because your lips are loose. Lips are loose. Bring it down. When Harvey Levin takes your picture, Hebrew Hammer. Red Snapper is all the camera sees. Red Snapperlies. Red Fish.
Gotcha.
Got it.
It looks like Patrick Ewing smiling. He had huge lips, Lisa. Or two-day-old red-headed grilled cheese. Thank you.
Wow. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen.
Once again, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Happy days, carded audience. Once again, I've rocked your sonic world with another hit from me, Brandon D.
That is beautiful. Thank you, Brandon.
It's my pleasure.
Bye now.
Well, it's a very sad story, and I certainly wouldn't want to be in Yahya Wahab's shoes. He's waking up in a world of hurt this morning over there in Malaysia.
Yeah, this story comes out of Kuala Lumpur. It's a real story. We found it on MSN. A Malaysian man said he nearly fainted when he received a phone bill and was ordered to pay up within 10 days or face prosecution. The phone bill was for $218 trillion. With a T.
Doesn't it seem like they ought to give you some sort of payment plan if it's $218 trillion?
Like two months?
Yeah. You got to spread it out over like eight even payments or something like that.
Something like that. We actually have Yahya Wahab on the phone. Good morning.
Yahya.
Hiya, Yahya.
Yes.
Hiya.
Hiya, Yahya. How are you?
Hiya.
Hiya, Yahya. How are you? You been to Hawaii?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Now, Yahya, you got this...
Hiya.
Right. You got this phone bill for...
Hiya.
Right. That's your... Yahya is your name.
Yahya.
Right. Okay. Right,
Wahab
is your last name, right?
Wahab, okay. Right? Okay.
You got this phone bill for $218 trillion.
Yeah, that's too much.
It's too much.
I don't have that kind of money.
You don't have that kind of money?
Who does have that?
Who does have that? Right?
Nobody. That's nobody. True. Nobody has that. I mean, it's more money than anyone has in the whole world. So, what was your reaction when you opened up the envelope of the phone bill?
I said to myself,
That's
you don't have that kind of money.
You don't have that kind of money, right.
Now, this was apparently your late father's phone.
My father's phone was turned off.
He died in January. You think it was turned off, but apparently it was ringing up a $218 trillion
bill. How can that be? He dead.
Well,
that's what we're saying. He's dead.
How can it be your phone? He dead.
Right.
He don't make phone calls.
But even if it wasn't disconnected, how can you make $218 trillion worth?
That's what Yahya said.
Right.
Okay. Hey, Yahya, what was your father's name?
My father's name was Long Duck Dong.
How about that? I'm sorry we lost him. I'm very sorry for your loss.
And I say, where can they come up with that number?
It does seem like a lot.
Well, the other bill was $23.
$23, right.
That's 84 ringgit.
Ringgit is that's the money there, right?
Yeah.
Ringgit. Yeah. So
and I said, maybe he's calling from heaven long distance. Correct. And it called one phone call, $218 trillion.
That's a lot for a phone call, though, even from heaven.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I didn't accept the charges.
I think you're right. I think it's a mix-up. You know, for $218 trillion, there ought to be some sort of happy ending.
That's what I say. Why don't I have phone sex for that kind of money?
Yeah.
You can have phone sex for a hell of a lot less than $218 trillion.
I could have like a midget with no limb or something.
Oh, I don't know that we need to get
it. Specialty phone sex.
Yes, it would. For that
you have to drill a hole in the phone and actually have sex with it for
right.
That
right, we don't want to hear about that. Listen,
so
you
I Telecom Malaysia.
Yes.
And I said, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that kind of money.
Right. What was their response?
They say, you go to jail. You don't pay up the money.
You're going to go to jail if you don't pay this?
Then I face prosecution.
You face what?
Prosecution.
Yahya, there's not 218.
It's Yahya, yeah.
Yahya, there's not $218 trillion in the entire country of Malaysia, is there?
Right. So I said to them, I can give you $8.
Eight.
Deal? Oh, no deal.
My man Bean has a lot of interests, wide-ranging interests, and spends a lot of time reading. He reads every newspaper, every magazine. If it's in print, he's read it. Every book. He's read every single book in the world.
That's not true.
And
but
it doesn't matter what we're talking about. If somebody comes in and say, I saw the coolest thing yesterday, Bean will go, yeah, I read about it a month ago.
Today is the 100th anniversary of the San Francisco earthquake of 1906, though. Now, that's interesting.
So he brings up stuff like that all day long. Like, you're listening to Incubus or whatever, and Bean, meanwhile, has to find something to talk about. So no one is speaking. And he throws out information like that. We thought that would stop when he got to his blog, because there's a tremendous amount of that kind of crap that goes into his blog.
Right.
But it hasn't slowed down, thanks for that info bean.
Not one little bit.
Not even just a little bit. So it's time to do that again.
Thanks for that info bean.
But guys, who wants to work with somebody who's got nothing to offer the conversation? There's nothing more boring than trying to pull teeth to talk to somebody.
Right. Here's what you're missing, though, B. There's no conversation going on at this point. We're not having a conversation. No one is speaking. Now, when we're on the air and we're having a conversation, you add to it nicely. I don't have any problems with that. But when there's no speaking, and you say something like, you know, Queen Elizabeth sent her first email over 30 years ago.
What are we supposed to do with that? How are we supposed to have a conversation? What is it you think one of us is going to say?
I find that really interesting.
And then... It's a dead end. But there's nothing to say about that.
But not everything that you bring up has to turn into a one-hour conversation.
Right.
But
how about a one-minute conversation?
It is kind of interesting that she said...
No, but it's not.
It really isn't.
There's nothing interesting about it.
Fetch that info beam.
We also try to burn people with the food we're eating. And I wrote these down verbatim, by the way. I sit in the corner and I listen.
And weep.
And when Bean says stuff like this, I write it down word for word. So every one of these he has said word for word. I guess not everyone is eating frosted wheat puffs.
Well,
that's that info Bean.
Duh.
Frosted wheat puffs are great, though, and I had them and you didn't. And that was the point of that.
Bean makes a lot of errors where he goes against the blog rules. There are blog rules.
Are
I don't
know
if you're aware of this or not. But
I'm not even aware of those, but I have a blog.
If you write a blog, let's say that you have a blog and you enter stuff into it every day, you can't reference that as something you read. Because you didn't read it, you wrote it.
Somehow giving it more authority.
Yes. I was reading in my blog today, and no, you can't say that.
Really?
I wrote down 5 times you've said that in the last probably 3 weeks.
Bean, you could say, I wrote in my blog, blah, blah, blah.
For example.
I read in my blog.
For example, Bean said, I'm writing in my blog about the peanut butter in my Peanut Butter of the Month Club.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Psycho Mike generously signed me up for the Peanut Butter and Jelly Club of the Month.
This just strikes me as someone who says some sort of leading statement, hoping someone will grab the bait.
Doc! Oh, no!
Now we're supposed to
Doc.
Go, oh, Bean, really? Peanut butter of the month?
Doc has
what
the
kind
same,
of peanut butter do you have?
Doc has the same kind of conversation skills, so he'll come into the office and say, hey, I Peanut Butter of the Month Club is great. And then we all sit there, no one says anything, and he waits, and he waits. So finally somebody says... All right, tell us about it.
Exactly. That's you, Bean.
Same thing.
But I love peanut butter, okay? And I thought maybe you were peanut butter enthusiasts also, and you would be interested in discussing all the various types of peanut butter that exist. Like, this month's Peanut Butter of the Month Club is Thai ginger and red pepper peanut
That's
butter.
That info, Bean.
Now, yes, that Mike. To me is interesting. Yes, Mike.
You know what it is?
You signed him up for this. You don't care.
I know. The Peanut Butter and Jelly of the Month Club is great. But you know what it is? You know how the hot chick or the really thin chick with a great body will come into a room and nobody's even addressing her and she'll say, "Ah, I feel so fat today." And she's just essentially waiting for someone to go and go, "No, well, you look fantastic."
Right.
Well, what being not having a good physique or good looks, but what he does have to offer is a robust intellect.
So he does that mentally.
So what he does is he offers this up so that we can all go, "Wow. How thought-provoking you are, Bean. Amazing.
Talk on the rock.
I've never said how thought-provoking are you, Bean.
And I understand the theory. I understand where you're coming from.
Talk.
That's not the case at all. I just love peanut butter and would like people that I could talk to about with peanut butter. That's
right.
All.
You need different people. Now, not only does he make statements, he also asks questions that are unanswerable. Why are naked mole rats the best animal?
Well, now, naked mole rats are awesome.
That's that info, Bean.
And you know it.
I actually wrote this down word for word. I'm eating special dark chocolate right now.
Okay, ew.
What exactly is that supposed
to mean
to us?
And then more ew.
And I hope it's not a euphemism.
I have 2 ducks. One is named Manny Moe, and the other is Jack.
That's that info, Bean.
The fastest centipede can move 20 inches per second.
Could have gone my whole life without knowing
that. The average embalming takes 2 hours.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Why would we care about that?
Because there's going to be a time, Lisa, where you're locked in a cabin or something with a killer centipede, and you're going to have to calculate how much time you've got to free yourself from the ropes.
That is probable.
Could happen.
That is probable, to free yourself from the ropes.
From the centipede
and then
that's marauding.
Day when I'm going to have to embalm someone, and I have to plan when I'm going to have my dinner. So how long does it take?
As you know, Bean is obsessed with Pluto. Even though Pluto is smaller than our moon, it's still way cooler.
And that's true, by the way, because Pluto might
info be.
We're not looking for some kind of an expanding on these thoughts. Yeah. We're just reading them out so the listener gets burned like we do.
Pluto is A, the biggest little planet,
don't
and
care.
B, although it's furthest from the sun, it's closer to heaven.
Oh, my God. I'm going to heat up some chicken, cheese, pineapple, and ranch dressing pizza.
He eats the weirdest food.
I've decided I like power bars. These are things that he has actually said during the songs.
Once again, Bean, what are we supposed to do with that?
This day is a great day for me. Barry Manilow is on Ellen and Martha. Oh. Then no one said anything, and then Bean said, why is Barry Manilow so good?
And then no one said anything.
And then
we all just left the room.
Any questions that can't be answered category? Why are pot pies so good? Why do I love Carolyn DeVarnis so much?
Oh, well, she was the chick from Wonder Falls. Come on.
I didn't know who that is.
Come on, the chick from Wonder Falls.
And I think this is my favorite because it's such a unique distinction, a tiny little minute distinction. Bean actually, out of the blue when no one was talking, said, I like jelly very much, but not jam.
I recall that moment.
He likes jelly very much.
I do.
Doesn't care for jam at all.
I started looking for a razor. Right then.
All right, look. When you phrase it that way, though, Kevin, when you lump it all together, it makes it sound like I'm some sort of a traveling freak show here.
Yes.
But with that information...
This is stuff I wrote down verbatim when you said them.
But it's spread out over 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, 3 or 4 days. That's
yeah.
True.
That's that info, Bean.
Hey, party people. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. It is 8:56 here on the world-famous K-Rock. 106.7 Pasadena, Los Angeles. Kevin and Bean are on vacation, but I'll be here all week, not only giving you the best in entertainment news, but also I'll be giving away tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Grindhouse, the brand new movie with Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. Two thrillers back-to-back in a double feature. Harkening back to the days of exploitation films in the 70s, these guys grew up in that era loving these bad B-movies. So you get two of them for the price of one in Grindhouse. The movie debuts Friday, April 6th. However, we've got tickets to the March 26th red carpet world premiere. I've got my final pair of tickets to give away right now, but I will be giving them away each and every Showbiz Beat throughout the remainder of the week. I want to give it away to a real Tarantino fan, so I've got a trivia question for you. If you're the first caller to get through at 1-800-520-1067 with the correct answer, you will win a pair of tickets to go see Grindhouse. Here's your trivia question. At the age of 16, Quentin dropped out of high school to pursue filmmaking. He left school at 16. He's a Southern California boy. What high school did he attend? Give me the high school and the city's name, if you could, please. Southern California High School that Quentin dropped out of when he was 16 to become a filmmaker. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Good luck, everybody. Well, Britney Spears is out of rehab again, only this time it's with the permission of the folks at Promises. Apparently, her manager released a statement last night saying Brit has been released after, and I quote, successfully completing their program. We ask that the media respects her privacy as well and those of her family and friends at this time. Apparently, last night you could hear in the distance, if you listen very carefully, a series of cheers going up from bar and restaurant owners all over Southern California as they heard she was out of rehab.
Here comes the revenue.
Back to the bottle. Speaking of back to the bottle.
Yes.
GQ Magazine is releasing an interview they did with Lindsay Lohan while she was in rehab at Wonderland. She is since out, of course, as well, working on a new film. But the New York Daily News says that Lindsay was seen in the New York nightclub called Unix. And she was drinking champagne. That's what they're claiming. Which I'm pretty sure is not on the menu after you get out of rehab. I could be wrong. I've never experienced it myself.
It does not meet the typical criteria for recovery, from what I know of it.
They said at another nightclub the same evening, her mom, Dina, was doing shots with a bunch of people, encouraging women to get up on the table and dance. So I guess it's a genetic thing with these two. Dina and her daughter, both.
Dina's so cool. She's not a regular mom. She's like a party mom.
That's right.
She's like a cool mom.
She's like the house everybody wants to go hang out
with.
Because you get to have sex in the basement and drink beers. But here's the best thing about that night at the New York nightclub where Lindsay was. Wilmer Valderrama apparently had second thoughts about their breakup. And according to witnesses, tried to win her back by dedicating a song to her when he got up to sing karaoke at this joint. Uh-oh. He sang Matchbox 20's Back to Good and dedicated to her. And apparently her friends started booing and yelling, "It's too late," across the club while he was singing.
Oh, poor Wilmer.
That's got to hurt, man. Especially after you've been Pez, the popular candy dispenser. And that's
we have a winner, believe it or not.
What? We already have a winner?
Yeah.
Who are we talking to, Psycho Mike?
We're talking to Gerardo from North Hollywood.
Gerardo?
Morning, Ralph. What it do?
What it do, my friend. What do you know about Quentin Tarantino's high school career?
He attended Narbonne High School in Harbor City, California.
You're absolutely right, my friend. Hold on. We're going to be on the details. You're going to see the red carpet world premiere of Grindhouse.
Love you, Ralph.
Love you too, buddy.
Congratulations on your success with Rico Suave, Gerardo. Also, congratulations to Brenda in Covina.
No, we're just giving away one pair. I just got one pair here.
Okay.
I told Circus Vargas out there, she's answering phones.
Well, that's my fault then. So, Brenda, screw off.
Brenda, call back tomorrow. We'll be giving away more tickets to the world premiere of Grindhouse tomorrow during each and every Showbiz Beat at the top of every hour tomorrow during the Best of Kevin and Bean. And Keanu Reeves, you know, we've taken our shot at Keanu in the past.
Sure.
But some apologies may be in order. I mentioned yesterday that he was involved in some sort of accident involving a paparazzo as he was driving his Porsche from a clinic in Torrance, California on Tuesday night. Well, it gets better than I possibly could have imagined. Apparently, Keanu was handcuffed by police at the scene after hitting this photographer. The photographer was treated for a broken wrist and other injuries. The cops let him go after Keanu gave a statement saying, "Mr. Reeves said he was trying to pull away from the curb. As he pulled away, the photographer called out, 'Ah, my knee,' and Mr. Reeves immediately pulled over. However, the photographer and a guy named Allison Silva," the dude named Allison, by the way, should have been hit, "said, I never had anyone go after me like that before. He wanted to kill me. After I took his picture, he was driving away from me, but then he turned around in a circle and drove straight at me." So, Keanu, if that's true and you're trying to run down photographers, good on you, mate, as they say down there in Australia. Very, very entertaining story. Good times. Today's celebrity birthdays, Matthew Broderick. Probably best known as Ferris in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He is 45 years old today. Rosie O'Donnell, actress and comedian, 45 years old. Gary Oldman, Sirius Black from Harry Potter, also Dracula from the Francis Ford Coppola version of that movie, 49 years old today. Timothy Dalton, by far the weakest of all the James Bonds in cinema history. He's 61 years old today. And Eddie Money, the money man, my good pal Eddie, turns 58.
Good
years
buddy.
Old
you oftentimes duetted with him.
Well, we were supposed to do it once, and things didn't work out. But I hold fast to the belief that someday that dream will come true.
He has apologized since.
He has apologized several times.
And has offered again to duet with
him. Good man. Next time he's in town, yeah. I mean, like in a situation where he doesn't really care about his performance so much. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I love the fact that there is porn for whatever turns you on. Whatever your style is, whatever your interest is, if you like the hairy women, there's porn for that. If you like bald guys, there's porn for that. There's pretty much everything. And we got a press release across our desk the other day, Lisa. I don't know if you saw this or not, but there is an independent porn studio in the San Fernando Valley that is going to start making Muslim-themed porn.
Really?
The guy says sexually active men have much better and more positive things to do than hack off heads, blow people up, and generally try to F things up. If Muslim men would just take off dresses and bomb belts, rip the veils and panties off their women, and take a little, I could say that, the world would be a much more peaceful place.
I see. The theory is they're just so repressed.
Yes.
That it's coming out in these socially unacceptable ways.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what
murder
he is
and mayhem.
Suggesting. So right. He's doing hardcore Islam, a love story. He's doing spring break in Mecca. He's doing Islam rated triple X, and he is doing Medina ghetto hoochie mama.
It seems like a great idea. I like his theory.
That's what he's doing.
I don't know he'll survive the week, but
the problem is you try to sell porn in some Muslim communities, it seems like you're asking for it. It seems it's not going to be received well. So we asked Lightning to do a little bit of research. He was not able to get this producer on the line for us, but we learned in the process of discovery that guy's not the only guy making porn for this Muslim community. And he has lined up for us producer Abdul Al-Jizwadi, who is the producer with Muhammad's Mamas, is the line of DVDs that he has out in stores. Mr. Al-Jizwadi, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
How you doing, babies? How you doing today, babies?
We're very good, thank you.
We're fine. Good day, babies. A good day for you, babies.
Now, where are you in the San Fernando Valley as well?
No, my friend, I'm in Baghdad.
Oh, you're in Iraq.
Yes, we heard the story about the Americans making Islamic porn films. It's like, why should they make all the money?
I see. Okay. Okay.
Generate our own adult entertainment so the Iraqis can make some money, you know, babies.
See, I would have thought, Abdul, that the Muslim people would be upset about this.
Of course they are, bro. Buck's a buck, you know?
Okay.
Look, a fella's got to make couscous when he can, you know what I'm saying?
Now, but I'm sure you get asked this all the time, sir, but I imagine the joke would be all you have to do is, you know, is show some elbow and you've got some hot stuff for the Muslim community because the women are so covered up in much of the world.
That's funny, babies. Yeah, that's very funny. No, we're going hardcore, babies.
Hardcore.
We want to show Islamic community that sex is a healthy, natural thing, and you can look at some hot porn and really have a good time.
Have you started producing movies yet, or are you just...
We've got about 20 different titles already ready for distribution, my babies.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
Like what?
Well, first of all, we've got two big porn stars, first Iraqi porn stars.
Okay.
They'll be starring in all of our products.
Okay, what are their names?
We have Fatima Lynn.
Yes.
Who's a very beautiful Iraqi woman, and her partner Al Jazeera.
his porn name is Al Jazeera?
Al Jazeera, yes. The two of them make magic babies. They're incredible together.
Okay.
The first one they put it together, we put it together, an amazing film, a holiday film, holiday classic, we think.
Mm-hmm.
Ramadan or Ramadan?
Well, that sounds good. I think
very
I might
hot,
watch that.
It's very hot.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Then we follow that up with our next feature film, which is incredible, called Hezbollah Jizbollah.
For God's sakes. What's wrong with you?
I'm not going to believe how hard it is.
Come on, Abdul.
What do you like? What do you like for porn, fellas? What can I send for you? What do you like? You like a wall?
Yeah, sure.
How about Islamic licking?
Oh.
How about open wide and say Allah?
But yeah, I have to ask you, Abdul, I'll just want...
Babies.
Yes, Abdul Al-Jazwada is on the line with us with the Muhammad's Mama's porn titles. In an era where cartoonists have death threatened for drawing pictures of Allah, can you really put his name in a porn movie? Aren't you concerned about the fallout?
Let me tell you something. You look at a cartoon of Muhammad, right? You go, oh, I'm so angry, I want to kill somebody. You look at one of my films, you look under Fatima's burqa, you look at one of that, and you go, oh, I want to kill somebody. Hey, look at what's happening in my penis.
I see, so they'll be sidetracked.
I forget all about killing somebody.
So you're doing this...
Taking care of business, you know what I'm saying?
So you're doing this for the good of humanity.
That's right, because guys who are taking care of their guns cannot pick up their guns, you know what I'm saying?
I got you. Okay, right. I got you. All right.
Smoking hot Iraqi Bukkake series.
Oh, stop it.
That series is incredible. They're starting off with number one, Splatter the Human Shield.
Oh, God. Yes?
And following up with Cover Her With Your Curds.
Oh.
Wow.
God.
That's such a hot series, my baby.
It sounds like. You know what? Just ship all of those over if you would.
I'll tell you, wait till you see Dropping the Dirty Bomb.
Okay.
We've got something for everyone over in Iraq. We got the Kurds covered, of course. We're covering it with your Kurds. We have an upper Shiite hole.
Oh, come on.
And stick it where the Sunni don't shine.
You're covering all your bases there, Abdul.
I think we are. I've got orders coming in right now. I got
to
go.
Okay, well, thanks for talking to us today.
Bye
now. It was nice knowing you while you were alive. We brought Omar back into the studio. Omar likes to party.
Yeah.
And the guys went to the K-Fed show last Wednesday night. Oh. It was a week ago last night, and it was at the House of Blues the night before Thanksgiving.
What I love about Omar, by the way, is he's not a guy who accidentally gets plastered.
No,
he plans in advance. Guys, I can't wait 5 more days.
Dude,
man,
you guys
don't
so let me out,
drunk.
Dude.
I know, we never let you out. That's true.
3 days from now, man, it's going to be going off. Oh, guys, tonight's the night. I'm gonna blow down the doors. I mean, he was ready for K-Fed on Wednesday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was determined that Kevin Federline was not going to come away from that concert with the idea that his fans love him.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. No matter what it takes,
absolutely.
Omar is going to take that into his own hands and make it happen.
Yeah.
So I want you to hear this clip, and then I'm going to tell you, it's so hard to understand, but we did get a CD sent to us from somebody who was at that show, the Kevin Federline show. Unfortunately, it wasn't going through the soundboard. It was just like, it sounds like a handheld thing, so you can just barely make it out.
Someone in the audience basically recording it for
us. But it's worth it when you hear what's being said to him on stage.
I'm home.
Okay, I'm going to play that again. I want you to listen for F-U, and then a pause, and then loser!
After Kevin says, I'm home, L.A.
Then Omar says, F-U!
That's our boy.
Right here.
Are there other people booing too?
Yes.
Were there other people too, Omar, or just you?
At that point, I had no idea what was going on, dude. I was just intent on doing one thing, and that's booing the crap out of them.
Apparently, from what I understand from the story, is even after the altercation with K-Fed, you guys went out to eat or something like that, and you were just incensed that he was going to go to bed that night and think that he had talent, right? I mean, it really got under your skin.
Absolutely. It really bugged me, and it's such a no-talent F, you know what I'm saying, dude?
Easy, man.
Really, really bugged me, yeah.
Yeah, so you did your part. Screaming F you and loser. And this clip, I don't even know if you can make any of it out, but you can hear the cursing going back and forth. And what that is Omar at the front of the stage flipping him off and yelling at him. And K-Fed kind of leaving his music behind and focusing on Omar and screaming back at him.
That's professional. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't make out one word of that.
No, not a thing.
Yeah.
What was going on?
Does the West Coast have love for K-Fed?
That rapper was on the other side of the stage, so he didn't see me, and Federline was on my side of the stage. My two middle fingers are up in the air. I'm like, F you. So he was all like, you know, hey, F the haters, F the media, whatever. So then the rapper tries to calm him down, and he's like, leave him alone, dog. And then, you know, Federline was all like, I see you, dog. I'm like, F you. You suck.
Yeah. By the way, what about Omar starting the new double throwing the finger there? Michael Vick picked it up after Omar did it.
Exactly.
The Atlanta Falcons. Apparently, it's very hot right now.
Nice, it's starting a trend.
Now, so this is the end of the show. K-Fed had kept everybody waiting for 2 hours and then came out and played 30 minutes.
The arrogance.
Yes.
Oh, it's unbelievable. That's why you hate him so much.
He's been playing 25 minutes now, and he wants to know if people want to hear another song.
Wait, by the way, 8 minutes of those 30 minutes was just a medley of, like, hip-hop hits. I mean,
A DJ was spinning, right?
Like California Love and all this kind of stuff.
Absolutely, and then they just had a hype man, you know, going, hey, everybody,
And Lisa brings up a good point. It's not like the guy has no talent yet, shows up and recognizes that he's new at it, that he's humble, that he's grateful. None of that. It's all arrogance plus no talent. That's the lethal combination that makes people hate this bastard.
So after 25 minutes, after waiting 2 hours, and then he played 25 minutes, he wants to know if people want to hear another song. That's his line. Maybe it's because I took their queen.
Jeez.
That's why America hates him, because he took Britney Spears and married her. Not that he has zero talent. It is an obnoxious ass. Has nothing to do with that.
Exactly.
Oh, damn. I thought that was the clip. Here's the clip where he asks if they want to hear one more song. They're all yelling, no!
How awesome is that? That's the best.
That's Omar. He's our man right there.
Oh,
I had to represent.
I think you heard him, Mo. I think you accomplished your goal. I think you heard him.
Well done.
So you're thinking of vacationing in Mexico this summer? Have we got a theme park for you? You got to check out the Echo Alberto Park. Looks like this is a good time, huh, Kevin? Sounds like something you'd like.
It does. It's odd, though. I'm surprised that it's not getting more people upset. And we did some checking. We're not positive if it's true, but it looks true. A BBC News report says that this is a place where tourists can go to pretend to be an illegal migrant. And basically what happens is you get ready, and it's at nighttime, and a guy named Pancho says, vamos, let's go, and they all start running. And then the police come after them later with guns. They're firing blanks, and it looks like they're crawling through bushes going through tunnels, and there's a heavy flowing water stream that they have to cross. And if you get caught, you get arrested. It's the whole thing.
So it's like war games. It's like the geeky guys who play army on the weekend, but this one you pretend to be crossing the border, say, from Mexico into the United States. So you're swimming the Rio Grande and you're going through the Arizona desert and you got the La Policia after you and you just are just going for it.
The equivalent of $19.50 here in America. You can spend a night living like millions of Mexicans who actually risk their lives crossing into the United States. That's the point behind the park.
Fantastic.
Wow.
You know, I'd like to make a point before we talk to our guest, because I understand producer Lightning has lined up somebody from the park for us, and that is that I didn't cross the border. The border crossed me. Okay, I just want you to remember that.
All right. That's a good tip.
So what's the deal with the Echo Alberto Park? Let's go down to Mexico and find out with our correspondent on the scene here on the world famous K-Rock. Good morning. Welcome to K-Rock.
Thank you for calling Migrant Mountain. My name is Rudy Cisneros. How can I help you?
Rudy?
Rudy?
Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean, Rudy.
Oh, what's up, eh?
How you doing?
Hey, what's the chances, Holmes? What's happening?
What are you doing down there?
Oh, dude, I got a job, eh? Look at me. Check me out, eh? Picture me pimping, eh? Like, I got a job down here. They call me up. They're like, we need a consultant, eh? To, like, help us make it more Chicano, you know? Like, to help us, like, get an American perspective from a Hispanic, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm down, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm just down here chilling, like, you know, making waves.
Every phone number we call in Southern California, doesn't matter if it's in L.A. or San Diego, or we call Mexico, we call Chile, we call anywhere, you're the guy who answers the phone. I mean, can you not keep a job?
I got hoes in different area codes, you know what I'm saying? I move around town, you know what I'm saying? I'm making waves,
So you're working at the Echo Alberto Park.
You could call it working, I guess.
Okay, well,
not right now, necessarily.
There's our pal, Rudy,
You know, I'm like, they ask me questions about stuff, you know, like, it's an amusement park, I guess they want to, like, emulate, you know, crossing the border,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
But, like, right now, it doesn't have much to offer. You just run around for a while, and then you go swimming, and guys blast at you, you know, with fake guns.
Right.
And then you go home, you know what I'm saying? So they really want to develop it to really, draw, like, you know, people, like, tourists that come down, they want to go to an amusement park, eh?
So it's not a done deal? They're still putting...
Oh, no, man. And, like, it's working right now, but, like, we're constantly in construction trying to develop it and, like, get more attractions and rides, you know? So it could be, like, a big-time amusement park, you know what I'm saying? So, like, instead of you and your hyena, you could say, hey, let's go to Magic Mountain, you know what I'm saying? Let's go to Disneyland. You're like, let's go down south, eh? Let's go to Migrant Mountain. Let's chill out. Let's bone out. Let's go there, you know what I'm saying? So, like, they call me up. You guys want to hear, like, what we got, like, in the works right now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm still trying to get my head around you being a consultant for anything.
Nah, man, I got crazy ideas, you know what I'm saying? Okay. I start getting all blooded, I start thinking stuff up, you know? And they're asking me, like, you know, like, what's a Hispanic lifestyle? You know, we want to emulate Hispanic lifestyle, you know what I'm saying?
But Rudy, why would a company in Mexico, with a theme park in Mexico, need to go to somebody else to find out about the Hispanic lifestyle?
They want to come to America, you know, so they want the American Hispanic lifestyle, you know?
Oh, so they need your perspective on it.
So
they immigrant.
Got, like, amusement parks, they have the Haunted Mansion?
Yeah.
We're going to have, like, your mama's mansion.
Your mama's mansion.
It looks like your mom's house. You just sit on the couch and watch the Raider games. She comes in, you're like, she's like, you're 33 years old. Go get a job, eh? And you have to just sit there and smoke blunts all day. And then, like, you know, then just that's it. She's like, you got to get a job. You got to go move somewhere else. You're a grown man.
Is there an endless Raiders game on a loop?
Yeah, you just watch a game and you just smoke blunts. It's pretty fly, you know?
Okay. I thought you'd like that.
They have Autotopia. You know, like the cars, they come around and, like, they give you a ride.
Right.
But this one, the cars come around and you have to fix them.
You have to fix the cars.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I only got one wrench. Look, I have to fix this Regal. Oh, man, that's crazy. What a crazy ride.
Okay.
They have the people mover, too.
Oh, the people mover.
Yeah,
okay.
But this one, it's like a Chevy truck, and you sit in like a fake Home Depot, and the guy's like, get in the back of the truck. Hey, I'm going to take you somewhere. And you get in the back of this truck, he drives you crazy places. You go, where am I going, eh? He's like, just shut up. Work hard, eh? $10 a day.
Right. So you jump into the back of a truck with like 40 other park patrons and just go wherever they take you.
It's fun. You just sit there. You're like, you get to the front of the line, and then if a Chevy truck comes up, you're like, clean. There's all these vatos in the back. You're like, what's up, Charlie Holmes? And then you go jump in, and then you get in, you drive around.
Wow.
It's pretty sweet.
How about that? That sounds great.
Like, instead of Pirates of the Caribbean, we got Pirates of the Carabiner.
Sure.
It's pretty fly, you know, because, like, Pirates of the Caribbean, there's, like, the robot puppets that, like, running around and, like, ooh, I'm a pirate.
Yeah, exactly.
But this one's got girls with, like, the eyeshadow, like, all drawn in, and like, their lipstick, they're like, the baby's yours, I swear, and they're, like, in a little... But then you don't have no boat or anything. You don't have a boat. Instead, you wear jeans in the water because you're like, I don't wear swim trunks. I'm like, Spanish. They just walk around in water, and there's the hyenas coming out, crunchy hair. They have crunchy hair, and they're like, I'm going to get you. The child is yours.
Well, you know, that's awesome, Rudy, because it sounds like maybe there's some work for Sad Girl down there at the park, too.
Well, I brought that hyena with me, you know
what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, and then, like, you know how they have the Bear Country Jamboree?
Oh, sure, yeah.
We got Bear Country Slow Jamboree.
And what's that?
You just play slow jams. I guess I have to really think that one out a little more. Like you go to a mountain where there's, instead of like Huggy Boys there and Art LeBeau, and they play slow jams.
And, right, they just bring out the doo-wop records and you dance, right?
You don't really dance. I haven't thought that one out yet.
You might want to work on that one just a bit.
Yeah.